win!
Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
15-10-5, touchdown!
Way back! Might be out of here!
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, baby!
The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, 720 WGN. Great to have you on board. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Super Bowl's tomorrow. I couldn't care less. I'm looking forward to having a fun day, but I'm about playing it forward, Harry. By the way, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm outstanding. I am looking forward to the Super Bowl. Call me old-fashioned or call me American, but I am looking forward to the Super Bowl. I'm looking forward to Super Bowl squares, to Super Bowl pools, to Super Bowl commercials, to chicken wings and pizza. And if I had a job, I'd be looking forward to calling in sick on Monday. I am looking forward to it all.
Harry's actually wearing his number 7 Atlanta Falcons jersey this afternoon, representing Michael Vick, who announced that he's no longer going to play football, 36 years old. And, of course, Michael Vick, famous for the dog scandal, if you want to just, I'm just going to name it like that, and came back to the NFL, deservedly so, paid his dues, spent his time, went to jail. People are allowed second chances. Great quarterback, never really quite had the success that perhaps many thought he was capable of. But I like you repping the Falcons today, and I do think it is American to root for Atlanta, so props to you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mike Vick was just a spectacular college quarterback at Virginia Tech, single-handedly almost beat Florida State in the Sugar Bowl, and he was the first quarterback to win a playoff game at Lambeau. I don't know if a lot of people remember that, but he was the first guy to take a team into Lambeau and get a win there. Packers never lost a home playoff game until Mike Vick showed up, and Andy Reid gave him the second chance. And Mike Vick is a shining example why people deserve second chances. He was fantastic. I mean, he could throw a ball, 70 yards through a brick wall. He was as fast as anybody on the field. And what he did with the dogs was just horrifying, but he figured it out and he turned it around, and there are people in this league today who are who have done far worse things than Michael Vick did, and I'm glad that Mike Vick has turned it around, and I will miss him.
It is fascinating to me how much we've killed Michael Vick for everything with dogs, and then there's so many guys in the NFL who are doing things with women that you would think we would care about more, but we don't have to have that just conversation right now.
No,
we don't.
And we love dogs. We're not okaying the way we do with dogs.
I love dogs.
Yeah,
I grew up with Strudel the dog. Strudel was an outstanding dog.
What kind of was Strudel a poodle?
Strudel was a Vizsla, about like a 40-pound Vizsla. Great animal.
Why didn't you call it Whistler?
Don't know, Harry. That's
if you had a poodle, you call it Strudel.
Strudel was a great dog, and then I had Belle the dog when I was living with Kate and Amy in my Jack Tripper years. Those were great years. Belle the dog.
Come and knock at a door.
Right, very solid.
Did you go to the Regal Beagle with Larry?
We were in that Southport corridor at that time, Harry. There was I believe the bar that I don't think it exists anymore. It was Jack's was the corner. That was the Regal Beagle. You know Jack's.
I know Jack's.
Of course, you know, come on.
Please.
Where am I?
Let's the Chicago bars for $500, Alex.
Right. My bad. Well, what's the one right down the street from there that's also a solid option, like one block west of Jack's? It's a real old school. Got a great cheeseburger. I forget the name.
The bar.
Are you that good?
What's that?
Are you that good?
The bar I always went to on Southport was Justin's. That was
right.
a fine bar.
Didn't Paul Sullivan have a tuna melt named after him at Justin's?
If he didn't, he should have.
Yes, and didn't you have the Harry special?
Which was 6 Cuervos and something to take home.
Right.
I watched Danny.
And a chocolate chip cookie?
Yes, I watched Danny Manning win the national championship game from Justin's, and you'll love the other game I watched there.
Harry at Justin's in 1988 watching Danny Manning, that's amazing. Go ahead.
I watched the shot.
You were there for the shot?
I watched Michael Jordan go up over Craig Elo
at
Justin's.
At 4:53 p.m. on May the 5th, you were at Justin's?
Yes. Yes, I was. I was at Justin's.
It's funny that you bring that up, because now I want to go know a slight Michael Jordan tangent. I don't know if I've ever mentioned to you, but I have this thing that I'm doing, which is called online dating.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody was talking to me this week about Michael Jordan. And
Michael Jordan, she says, "I'm online date." Online
well, so,
date?
She, I, you know, one of my pictures, I think, is of me as a youngster with MJ, and so she says she's a huge Jordan fan, and I say, "You want an MJ?" Now you throw that out there, I'm gonna actually figure out how deep of a Michael fan you are. So I said, you know, or she said something about his prime years. And I said, as she was talking hoops, I said, what were his prime years? Now, how would you answer that? What was MJ's prime?
I would say MJ's prime was when he put on a Bulls uniform and then when he took off the Bulls uniform.
Okay. Well, you could answer it like that. But so I'm all about the athletic prime.
Yeah.
So it's like 87 to 90, like before they won.
I was going to say his prime was April 20th. You want to throw out dates? April 20th, 1986 was the start of his prime.
The Boston Garden?
Yeah, Boston Gardens. And his prime ended when he beat the Jazz for the second time in 98.
Fair enough. I always maintain that. I loved MJ when he was young and
fast. He was so great.
And jumped. He was a pretty good basketball player.
Yeah, what he did when he got in the NBA was he made his jump shot better. And then, I mean, the unstoppable force was even more unstoppable. And, you know, great defensive player and just the smartest guy on the court. And, you know, to play with Pippen didn't hurt him.
Yeah.
But MJ was awesome.
I didn't mean to take us down the MJ rabbit hole that I love to go down to. So here, let me just rewind back.
Yes.
This is what I care about with the Super Bowl. And 312-981-7200. I am interested in what you're doing. How are you going about your Super Bowl weekend? And Harry wants to make Monday a national holiday. But this is the only thing that interests me right now about the New England Patriots is what are they going to do with Jimmy Garoppolo? Where are they trading him?
Ah.
Are they trading him? And are the Bears going to pull the trigger? Because they are sitting there with that number 3 overall pick, and you need a quarterback. And here's a guy who, when given a chance to play, looked like he can be the part of a starting NFL quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to be elite, but I think he could certainly be middle of the pack. And if you're the Bears and you're finally going to move on from Cutler, and I'm paying attention to Super Bowl, and I look at New England, I'm just wondering, what's it going to take to get that guy over here? And by the way, the San Francisco 49ers need a quarterback too, and they have picked number 2 in the 2017 NFL draft. So that could be an issue as well.
And they have John Lynch will be their GM, and Kyle Shanahan will be their head coach. But if you think Garoppolo is going to be middle of the pack, you cannot use your number 3 pick on him.
Why not?
Your number 3 pick needs to be a franchise player. And if you can't get it, and the Bears are in desperate need of a quarterback. If the Bears cannot get a franchise quarterback with the number 3 pick, there doesn't seem to be one in the draft. But if you can't get that, then go get yourself an offensive tackle or get yourself a great defensive player. Get yourself a player from the number 3 pick that will be a stud for a long time at Soldier Field.
I mean, to be a stud at defensive line or a safety, or even you want to go O-line, it makes sense. I mean, look at Dallas. Their offensive line has carried them almost.
The Bears don't have a tackle, Mark.
I hear you. 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 But a quarterback that's 15 to 20 in the NFL is a pretty good quarterback. To go into next season with Brian Hoyer or Matt Barkley.
You can't.
Or God forbid Jay Cutler's coming back.
No, he's not coming back.
You can't do it. Hey, we normally don't take calls in the first segment, but Martha called to agree with me, so you know that'll work for you, Martha. Hey, Martha, welcome to WGN.
Thank you. I admire you for saying that about Tom Brady.
Oh, thanks, Martha.
Because I think this is just a crime that he has all these young kids looking up to him, and he's nothing to look up to. He's something I'd look down on.
Wow,
I'm not a football person, but I think they should, whoever the NFL is or the officials in charge of the team, and either clean out the coaches, the assistant coaches, whoever has a part in all this, because they don't deserve to have everybody and all these young kids looking up to football players when they're this quality of people.
So you don't live by the mantra, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, Martha?
Nope.
Are you a teacher, Martha?
Nope.
What do you do, Martha?
I'm retired now, but if I had parents that were Tom Brady's parents, he would not be around or be able to walk too long because they would literally take care of his little train whistle.
Wow. Whoa. Martha. All right, Martha.
Whoa. Bear Tushy spanking.
Thank you, Martha. Appreciate you calling.
Anytime.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you just mentioned Tom Brady's parents because Tom Brady's father is a large advocate for young Tom. He's a very much a backer of Tom
Brady.
And
he should be. He's his dad. And Tom Brady getting emotional about his dad has led to all kinds of speculation. But that's kind of like, you know, the most that you love Tom Brady is when you see a human side of him because he's almost too perfect.
Well, here's another thing on Brady. There's a big if question on Brady for tomorrow. So let's just discuss that coming back here. The big if Tom wins tomorrow, what does it mean? This week on Chicago's Best, Elliot is on the hunt for the best from the boot. Italy, that is. Harry, don't miss Chicago's Best Italian, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. You've got the beat. It's 720 WGN. What does it mean? The championship conversation coming up in a moment here. Tom Brady can get number 5. Bill Belichick can get number 5, 7 times to the Super Bowl for the amazing Patriots. Here, I got bad news for you.
Don't know. You're not going to tell me. You're not going to give me a bad college basketball score, are you?
You are very intuitive. Would you like to know what the score is?
There's no way that they lost.
Iowa State, 92. The Kansas Jayhawks, 89.
How much time left?
Overtime, and it's a final at Allen Fieldhouse. If you don't know about Harry, shame on you, but Harry went to Kansas until he didn't.
Yeah, Bill Self never loses. That's crazy. You know, Scott Drew just lost the other day. Scott Drew Baylor lost the other day to Kansas, and he has actually lost at that point. He had more losses at Allen Fieldhouse than Bill Self. I believe that's Bill Self's 10th loss in the entire time that he's been there.
And that's to an unranked Iowa State team. The Jayhawks were 2 in the country?
Yeah, they're number 2 in the country with three tremendous players.
And they beat Baylor this week, who's 3 in the country. But a little drop for KU. You'll be okay, Harry.
How did they lose to Iowa State at home?
It was the ghost of Fred Hoiberg.
Marcus Fizer.
It was the amazing coaching ability of Fred Hoiberg.
How did Jayhawks lose that game?
You'll get over it. If you're curious about the Big Ten today, Purdue beat Maryland 73-72. Wild finish there.
Great game. They were down 12, and they came storming back.
Yeah, Purdue doing that on the road. And, of course, Purdue beat Northwestern earlier this week. The Wildcats, keeping my fingers crossed here, but this is so Northwestern that Scotty Lindsey, one of their best players, all of a sudden gets sick and is going to miss a couple of weeks, reportedly. I hope he's, A, gets healthy, and then B, comes back quickly. But when you miss a couple of weeks, get out of shape. All that stuff happens. For the Big Ten fans out there, Rutgers beat Penn State 70-68, and Illinois is in action right now, beating Minnesota 18-15 early going. First half, the Illini at Welsh Ryan Arena Tuesday night at 7. Harry, would you like to go?
I would love to go.
Yeah.
And my friend John gave me his 2 tickets.
Did he really? So you're going to be in the building?
So I will be in the building. 103 or 203? I think 103. Road Double J.
Double J 103ers?
Either 103 or 203. I'll have to check.
I'm going to guess 203.
Okay, 203.
Yeah, it's a nice seat. Good purple, little purple preferred.
He said there's a lot of orange around. He said this guy's been going to every Northwestern game. He said he goes to every Northwestern game for like 25 years, but he can't go when Illinois plays.
Yeah, there is a lot of orange in the building. I got to tell you, though, there's always a lot of red in the building. And when Indiana just came in, a lot more purple. And there's still some red, a good amount of red, but a lot more purple. It was a great environment. And congratulations to Northwestern on being on the cusp. Going to the NCAA tournament.
I'm so excited by what Northwestern's doing, but I've got a little bone to pick.
Yeah?
Why wear the black uniforms?
What's wrong with the black uniforms?
You finally have the nation's attention. you finally have the respect that that program deserves. I mean, you guys just didn't get lucky. You guys worked your butt off to get where you are. And Chris Collins and the staff have done a great job, and they will continue to recruit. And the players will get better and better. But now you got the whole nation watching Northwestern, keeping an eye on Northwestern. They can get in the big dance for the first time. And let's wear these black uniforms with gold letters, and let's see if people can figure out which team is Northwestern.
Where
the white and purple, or the purple and white?
Okay, you got to have a little bit of confidence in the American public, the sports public.
I'm just saying, identify. Make it identifiable. Okay. Look, it's a little thing. I'm not like, you know, I'm going to the game Tuesday. I'm thrilled. I'll be there. I'll be loud. I'll be wearing purple.
You are wearing purple?
Yeah, my dad and my brothers all went to Illinois. I'll be wearing purple. My mom went to NU, and my grandma went to NU, I live in Evanston, so I'm very excited to go to the game, and I know I can catch it right here, right?
That's true. You can, Dave, and it will – actually, I got to double-check. I don't want to give out false information here.
Dave Ennett, Joey Meyer,
absolutely, always for Northwestern basketball. I'm just double-checking if the Blackhawks are playing on Tuesday night or not. They are not playing on Tuesday. Thank you, Dan. So, yes, of course, right here on 720 WGN. Cats basketball, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock the tip. And the halftime guy's incredible.
He really
does a good job.
Does he ever cheer at the games?
Every now and then it does happen. All right, I want to talk Tom Brady and championships with you and with you, Harry, coming up after the 3:30 news. Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
This is what you dream about as a kid is playing in a game. Playing in this game and winning this game.
Into seven Super Bowls just means I've been a part of seven really great football teams that have made it this far.
WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. This is The Beat with you till 6:30 tonight. Blackhawks hockey coming up after that. The pregame with Judd Surratt and, of course, John Weidemann, Troy Murray. Blackhawks are at Dallas tonight. Get to see their buddy Patrick Sharp, who's back healthy. We'll have some Hawk talk coming up here. All right, Harry. Tom Brady wins tomorrow. It's championship number 5.
Pretty impressive.
Does that make him the best quarterback ever? Or does that conversation in itself make you cringe just a little bit?
Well,
I
think what that does, anytime you're having a conversation about who's the best quarterback ever, I think that gives somebody else a trump card. Somebody else who's arguing that Tom Brady is the greatest ever can say, well, he won 5 Super Bowls. No one else ever did. And he's a great quarterback, phenomenal quarterback. I mean, his numbers this year are terrific, and he missed the first few games. It's opinion. There's no right or wrong here. You know, I think Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback ever. And Tom Brady would probably tell you that Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback ever. He grew up in San Francisco, a 49er fan.
How many Super Bowls did Joe Montana win?
He won 4.
Right. So if Montana goes down tomorrow, so to speak, to Brady, that's not going to change your opinion now, is it?
Well, Tom Brady's great. And he may be the greatest ever. But it's certainly, Willie Shoemaker, you know, I mean, the guy that's got the most is usually the best.
Let me ask you a question, if I may, so I can just kind of give a clear blueprint of where I'm going here.
Please.
Who's a better center, Patrick Ewing or Bill Cartwright?
Patrick Ewing is a better center.
Right. How many championships did Bill Cartwright win?
He won 6.
Well, he won 3.
Oh, he won 3.
Right.
Right. First 3.
And how many did Pat win?
He never won a championship.
Right.
Because Michael.
Right. Who's a better player? Let's think about this.
That's what you're doing here. You're building your you're going to tell me John Stockton and Karl Malone never won a championship,
Or,
but they're two of the greatest players in the history of the association.
We can bring it back to football too. I mean, there's how many Super Bowls did Dan Marino win?
He never won a Super Bowl.
Okay.
He only played in one.
Okay. How many Super Bowls?
38-16.
How many Super Bowls did Jim McMahon win?
He won 1. I would rather have had Dan Marino than Jim McMahon.
Thank you. And you can do it with a lot of great quarterbacks too, right?
Right.
So when we dumb it down to I can count and you can count. Mm-hmm. And this is how we add it all up, and it's all about rings. And by the way, athletes say this all the time. That's how they judge themselves. You know, Michael was obsessed with, at first he wanted to get a three-peat because Bird and Magic never had the three-peat, so he felt like he had surpassed him by that, and then he wants to surpass him by the numbers, and then, you know, then that validates him. It's like, dude, if you had never won an NBA championship, I still would have argued that you were better than both Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Same thing with Dan Marino. Dan, I know it probably bothers you that you never won a Super Bowl, never won the Super Bowl, but you are a phenomenal, ridiculous, all-time quarterback. So these guys,
well, football is such a team sport,
right?
You know, it's so much more. You're so much more dependent. You could be, you know, the greatest player in the league in the NFL and never make it to a Super Bowl. He made it to one. Derek Jeter. I mean, you know, there are guys that won a bunch of championships because they were on a team with Derek Jeter. Then there's Derek Jeter, you know, or Mariano Rivera. Tom Brady was not, you know, part of the reason that New England went. He was the main reason that New England went.
I'm not taking anything away from Brady. Brady, 100%. Top five quarterback of all time. And wherever you want to argue that he falls, that's fine. You're entitled to your argument. But don't make it all about just the Super Bowl ring, is my point. Like, you have to watch them actually play and know what their circumstances are. What type of talent do they have around them? I mean, Troy Aikman got to play behind a phenomenal offensive line with a phenomenal running back. Where does he rank
With the great receiver.
With ridiculous receiver, too. So where does that put him? And I understand, by the way, you also need great players around you to win, which, by the way, speaks to Tom Brady, because they've gone through a ton of wide receivers, and they've never really had a great running game, right? I mean,
Right. Troy Brown. I mean, look at the wide receivers that they've had there. And Joe Montana got to play with the greatest receiver ever. In the history of football.
That's correct.
You know, so that people maybe say, well, you know, Montana got lucky, but Michael Jordan got to play with Scottie Pippen. And if he hadn't, he still would have been the greatest player ever. It just made Jordan better. It made the teams around, you know, that Jordan and Pippen were a part of, better.
He wasn't going to do it alone. You had to have someone.
So who's the best quarterback that ever played in the NFL in your mind?
The best, I don't have, I am not sure, to be honest. If I really had to,
say Josh McCown, please.
I'm not going to say Josh McCown, and we can open up this conversation. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump on in here. 312-981-7200. If I had to pick, I think I'd say Montana. Because when it was on the line, he always came through.
He played better. He played better when it was on the line.
Yeah, and Elway's right there for me, too. And I have a huge affinity for Marino. And I know he never won. But guys like that who, no matter what the circumstance was, I thought that he was, like, Dan Marino's going down the field right now. He just is. And they put up huge points all the time. I loved watching the Dolphins play.
There are people that will tell you Tom Brady's not even the greatest quarterback playing right now. There are people that believe that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback.
I think you can certainly make that argument.
Yeah, and you know, he plays, you know, he plays, you know, they both have been with the same coach, the same system for a long time, which benefits him. But there's another quarterback who I think could be in this conversation, but after we take some calls, I'll give you that quarterback.
All right, fair enough. 312-981-7200. If Brady wins tomorrow, do you change your opinion? You know, I had him third, but then he's going to leap whoever you want to put in there. He's leaping Montana and Manning, and we're making him number one. What's up, Jim? Welcome to 720 WGN.
Hi, guys. Hey, when Brady had a superstar, Randy Moss, broke all sorts of records themselves.
They sure did, and they only lost one game in their best. Yeah, of course,
28 touchdowns Moss did, right?
Yeah, it was phenomenal. He was great with Brady. He was great in Minnesota as well.
They didn't win the Super Bowl that year either, by the way.
But Brady, when he has the tools, if he doesn't, he makes them up. But when he has the tools, then he really shines.
So do you have measured?
I think he's number one. Number one.
Good call, Jim. Appreciate you.
All right, bye-bye.
I think I should ask him more questions. I bet he went to Michigan. I can feel it. I can sense him.
No, come on.
Guy was all about go blue. Jim Harbaugh's having a nice time, by the way, up there, just getting some, all sorts of. Did you see that Michigan is paying their assistant coaches over $1 million?
Sure they are.
The defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator at Go Blue is making $1 million.
There's a million! There's other coordinators that make $1 million. There's other guys around the league.
That is unbelievable.
Did you see Harbaugh jumping into the pool with the recruit from Iowa?
Hey, man, whatever it takes. I appreciate him on a lot of levels. He also gets under my skin. I'm not going to lie.
Oh.
You love Jimmy? I love him coaching the Bears.
I think what Jim Harbaugh has done, you know, at Stanford, at Michigan, you know, has been just spectacular.
I'm a Fitz guy. 312-981-7200.
I love Fitz.
What's up, Mac? Welcome to 720 WGN. You're going old school Sonny Jurgensen on us?
Yes, sir. Old school. Vince Lombardi said he was the greatest quarterback that he ever worked with.
Sonny Jurgensen was a quarterback for the Redskins. He played at Duke, and he wore number 9. He played about, what was his last game, like 73?
Yeah, something like that. I was out in Washington, D.C. when he was playing, and the guy just, he was known as the two-minute terrorism.
Mac?
I mean, I saw him one time. The Redskins were down like 10 points, 2 minutes, and he pulled it out of his hat and he won it.
Mac, can I ask you a question? Slightly personal.
Okay.
Do you tend to live in the past, Mac?
I try not to.
You sure?
So, Mac, you know, I mean, like, back then, like, wouldn't the greatest of that era be Johnny Unitas?
What about Otto Graham?
Otto Graham, Northwestern.
10 seasons, 10 championship games, 7 titles, Otto Graham. Huh?
But look at the records that Sonny Jurgensen set.
Hey, but Johnny Unitas has to have more records than Sonny Jurgensen.
It's a lot of effort there to look at those records, Mac. Hey, Mac.
It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort there, man. We have to ask Dan Long, the producer.
Dan Long, look up Sonny Jurgensen. I want every stat on Sonny Jurgensen.
Well, we could use this keypad that they have in front of us.
Yeah, right. I understand. But there's a show going on. I can't go full Johnny Sonny Jurgensen research right now. Hey, Mac, you're the best. Appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Sonny Jurgensen. I love when the old school comes out. If my father called up right now, he'd tell me Sid Luckman, and then he would tell me that Bob Pettit was the best power forward of all time.
Okay.
To the older listener, love you, appreciate you. This is what happens in sports. Athletes get bigger, they get stronger, they get smarter, they get more athletic, they get better. It's just a fact.
Sonny Jurgensen was great. In that era, Bart Starr was great. Bart Starr won the first 2 Super Bowls. They weren't even called Super Bowls. Bart Starr, a 15th round draft pick out of Alabama. Can I give you a how cool is that moment on Sid Luckman?
Absolutely. Go ahead. Let's spit it out.
Whose bar mitzvah do you think Sid Luckman came to?
Sid Luckman was at your bar mitzvah?
Yes, he was.
Because he was friends with your father?
Because my dad knew him, and he was like my dad's hero. And he asked him to come to my bar mitzvah, and he came.
Sid Luckman was at your bar mitzvah?
He shook my hand, okay? It's like the biggest hand ever, okay? It's like the anti-Trump hand. He shook my hand, and obviously people know that you're bar mitzvah when you're 13. He shook my hand, and I looked inside my hand, and there was a wadded up $100 bill.
Wow, Sid.
It felt like he had just given me $10,000.
Yeah, well, at that point in time, I mean, 1932, that's a lot of dough.
Right. Of course, I betted on which song the band was going to play next, and it was gone. When will I learn? Right there.
Well, these things happen. Hey, if you're on hold, we'll get to you in the next segment. That's the goal. At the very least here, we are talking greatest quarterbacks of all time around Super Bowl 51, the Falcons and the Steelers, and Harry's bar mitzvah history with Sid Luckman. I actually have my own bear story around that as well.
Around your bar mitzvah?
Yes, it's the opposite end of the spectrum that you just spoke to. All right, coming up next, 720 WGN. All right, I've made the effort. The effort's been made.
Nice.
Sonny Jurgensen.
Jurgensen.
Sonny, did I say Jor?
Yeah.
Sonny
okay.
Jurgensen.
Mike Jurgensen played for the Mets.
My bad. Sonny Jurgensen. Excuse me. 5'11".
Uh-huh.
Born August 23rd, 1934. He's still alive, 82 years old.
Dookie.
Yep. 5-time Pro Bowler. 2-time first team All-Pro. 5-time NFL passing yards leader. 61, 62, 66, 67, 69. He's one of the 70 greatest Redskins.
I would hope so.
I don't think he's in the top 5 quarterbacks of all time. That's just me. No offense to my guy Mac.
No, we
love you, Mac.
Yeah, no, it's I would agree with that. I would think Johnny Unitas is the greatest quarterback from that era. Remember when Johnny Unitas passed and Peyton Manning honored him by wearing the black cleats that Johnny you always wore, and they fined him for it.
Yep.
Johnny Unitas had 290 touchdowns, 253 picks, threw for 40,239 years. 40,000 yards in his 18 seasons.
Is that good?
Hey, it's pretty good.
My guy Brad Tista texting me. Bob Avellini. Danny White.
Danny White. Bob Avellini, I've met Bob Avellini. I enjoy my Bob Avellini time. He's a Terp.
There's nothing better than being a Bears fan growing up if you're a 40-something-year-old and remembering the days when Bob Avellini would hand the ball off to Walter Payton.
Yes.
On every single down.
Well, you were going to tell me your bar mitzvah story.
So my bar mitzvah story, September 6th, 1986, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
September 7th, if you go back in time, 1986, that would be the opening game of the Bears' defense of their Super Bowl championship. Didn't work out that way, as we all know. But so my bar mitzvah was in the afternoon, and the Bears were having game one. And it was at the end of the bar mitzvah season, so people were already bar mitzvahed out.
Yes.
And
end of the baseball season, end of the bar mitzvah season.
I had about a 50% no-show factor.
Oh, no. You want to lie down and tell me about it?
I do, actually. We'll do it after the show. But it was very emotional for me. You had Sid Luckman at your bar mitzvah shaking your hand.
Yes, very cool.
I had none of my friends coming.
Shut up.
That
your
happened.
Friends, your friends well, I, came.
Not really. But they're worse. It's okay. I understand. Bears, defense of the Super Bowl, much more important than my bar mitzvah.
But the Bears are the next day. How does that affect what you do on Saturday?
The kid party was on Sunday.
Oh, the kid party was on Sunday.
It was just the kid party.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. Right. I thought you were saying that the kid party was like a luncheon on Saturday and they weren't coming.
These are the rough times.
Is that where you think it started for you? Is that where you think it changed?
No, I think all the way back to third grade when Sarah Eckerling turned me down. That was rough. I don't think I've ever gotten over that one.
Did you ever try to get in contact with Sarah?
Daily. It's fruitless at this point, Harry.
She's the girl that turned you down when you were 13. Could we call her?
Third grade. I was 8.
Could we call her now?
No, we cannot do that. But we could talk to Joe. He wants to talk Brett Favre. I got to get away from that conversation. Joe, save me. Thank you. Welcome to WGN.
How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
It was Mark's idea, Joe. Happy to have you on.
Joel here. Yeah, actually, like I said, I'm calling from Wisconsin, so of course I'm going to say Brett Favre. But I like what you guys were saying, you know, naming off players and quarterbacks and how many Super Bowls they win. Just because you win a Super Bowl, that doesn't make you a great quarterback. I feel the reason that these guys are great quarterbacks is because they have a great team behind them, okay? The quarterback does not win the games. The team wins the games. You could be the greatest quarterback in the league. If you don't have a good team behind you, you do not become a great quarterback, correct?
Yes, and
to a point.
You know, Brett Favre, once I get past the personal hatred, once I get past how much he killed...
I knew I was going to get that.
But, I mean, how sick are Bears fans? How sick did we grow of that stat they would show every game, that graphic, I should say, they would show every game, quarterbacks since Brett Favre arrived in Green Bay, and they'd roll like 28 names for the Bears. You'd have like Steve Stenstrom and Moses Moreno and Will Fuhrer. Mark, I couldn't stand Will Fuhrer. As a Jew, I was very uncomfortable with 60,000 people cheering Go Fuhrer. And they'd show 22 guys for the Bears, and Brett Favre was the only guy. He played like in every game. He never missed a game, Favre.
Yeah, but Joe, hold on a second here. You're telling me, as a Wisconsin guy and a diehard Green Bay Packer fan, that you think that Favre is better than Rodgers?
Well, like I'm saying, too, it's like I think one of you gentlemen said that, you know, you really can't say who's a great quarterback. Depends on the year and stuff like that. There's just so many great quarterbacks. I mean, I was a Fran Tarkenton fan. You got Dan Marino. You got Joe Montana, Steve Young. And there's just so many players. and there's such good quarterbacks. You know, it really is hard to say who is the greatest quarterback of all time. Okay, Tom Brady's got 4 Super Bowls. Okay, he might get 5. But, you know, there's just so many other great quarterbacks behind him. It really is hard to say who is the greatest quarterback of all time. That's the way I look. I'm just, you know, I'm from Wisconsin, so, you know, okay, Brett Favre. But there's still a lot of great quarterbacks out there, and they had great teams behind them, and that's why they became great quarterbacks.
Joe, do you have a difficult time making decisions in life?
Sometimes.
Okay, that's what I'm hearing here. So I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to step into it. I'm making you the president of the Green Bay Packers. We're going back in time. You can have, for their entire career, right now, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. Who are you taking?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is still playing. Aaron Rodgers.
No.
I'm going to go Brett.
Okay, fair enough. Brett. There you go, Joe.
I respect that.
Good job, Joe.
So let's talk. You know, there's a lot of things you got to like Favre for, even if you're a Bears fan. Consecutive games. Peyton Manning is second for a consecutive game started as a quarterback. Peyton Manning, 208. 208 straight games.
Huge stat. Got to be on the field.
Right. You get killed. You're a quarterback. You get hit so many times, taken down so many times. So he's 208, Peyton Manning. Favre, 297 straight starts.
That's one tough hombre, to borrow a line from the week. You like that one, Harry?
I do.
There you go. All right. Hey, quick timeout. Get you into the newsroom here. Bob Kessler coming right up. 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Good afternoon. 409. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. Dan Long producing. Bob Kessler up in news as we get you ready for Super Bowl 51. We are going to check in with Jared Payton down in Houston. A little bit later in the program, we are also going to delve into a little Bulls talk and a little NBA talk, the LeBron James-Charles Barkley feud, which really got me going this week. I really enjoyed it. All right, Harry, do you want to... I figured, a little impromptu, would you like to go to the Super Bowl tomorrow?
I would love to go. Are you inviting me?
Well, I'm going to try to see. Have you ever been to a Super Bowl? I know you have.
I have. I've been lucky enough to be, I've gone to, I saw four.
Four Super Bowls.
Yes, both Bears Super Bowls. And then I saw the one in Minnesota with the Redskins and the Buffalo Bills. And I saw the one in New Orleans where 49ers 55, Denver 10, 1990.
Okay. Now, are you willing to sit? Do you have to have a premium seat?
No.
Okay. So you'll take the cheapest ticket?
Yes.
I see. All right. So I'm going to put you then in the upper end zone, section 623.
Uh-huh.
That's way up top. The old NRG Stadium.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to be in there for 2000.
The stadium formerly known as Reliant.
That's right. $2,222.22.
$2,200 bucks just to get in the house.
$2,200 is your cheapest ticket right now. Okay. Now, would you like to go with someone or are you just going to go solo?
No, I'd like to go with someone.
You would? Okay. Yeah. So now we're up to $4,444.44.
Well, you're good at math. Did you go to Iowa?
I did go to Iowa. Now, what's your favorite airline, or do you not have a preferred airline?
The next one I get on.
Okay, the next. So you're good.
Yes.
All right. I'm gonna go to Expedia now.
Uh huh.
So just I want to just see what's gonna cost to get you to the Super Bowl and see if people will.
Well, I would have. I mean, shouldn't we have made these reservations a long time ago if we knew we were going?
We should have. Planning ahead is important, but the thing is that we didn't. So we're going to have to deal with what is. We can't go back in time. We can only move forward. And getting you to the Super Bowl is something that I really want to do.
Okay.
You don't mind what Houston airport you fly into, right? Hobby or George Bush, you're good?
I'd be good with either one. George Bush, by the way, flipping the coin.
How about
his wife?
How about that?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna fly you out tomorrow. We're not gonna go today, and then you're gonna
save money on a hotel.
Yeah, right, exactly. And we're gonna try to get you back. We're gonna give you a one night stay down there, Harry. We'll do that for you.
But
you're gonna stay with my buddy Nick Wright. He's got a house in Sugar Land, so we're not gonna pay for a hotel.
Okay, nothing's expected of me if I stay at Nick Wright's place. Right?
No,
okay.
He's married, got a couple kids. You might have to
matters.
Well. You might have to cook breakfast or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Has he got a microwave?
He does. You can warm something up. All right, I have found the best deal for you. Are you willing to fly Spirit Airlines?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, we can't.
We got Spirit. How about you?
Can't do that. It's not going to get you there in time. We got to go United for you tomorrow for $5.53. Okay.
Round trip.
$5.53, Harry. Okay. So that's $5.53. Let's just focus on your. Dan Long, you got your calculator out here. $553 plus $222.
Uh-huh.
So that's, what is that?
Oh, my God.
$2,775, correct?
We're doubling it if I'm taking Wendy or going with the buddy?
Wendy's not going. Wendy's out. Love Wendy, but she's out. She's going to kick this one old school with the kids on the couch.
Yep.
So
probably right.
And so then... a little rental and whatnot. You're there for under $3,000. Who wants to kick down so Harry can go to the Super Bowl tomorrow? For $3,000, I'm sure that we have at least 3,000 people listening right now. Who is in for a dollar apiece to get Harry to the Super Bowl to live his dream of Super Bowl 51, 312-981-7200. And talk about why you, in your deepest heart, want to get Harry there so you can live the dream. Do you see what I'm doing for you?
I appreciate it. There's other things that I'm dreaming of.
We got a guy outside right there already showing you a buck, Harry.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Look at my man.
Thank you, sir. He's got a nickel on merit, Spirit.
$2,999 is all we need left to get Harry to the Super Bowl. And listen, we're not trying to send you to Media Day. The average cost of ticket for that was $25.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that. We're not getting you your own Harry commercial, 30-second commercial, $5 million.
$5 million.
Yep, $5 million.
And it goes down. In the fourth quarter, it's a lot less.
Okay, so the first couple of commercials, that's
right,
huge.
But you're rolling the dice if you do your commercial in the fourth quarter. What if it's a blowout?
That's true. That's exactly true. $1.23 billion. You want to guess what that number's for?
For escorts.
Not escorts. Good, good try, though. That's the number of chicken wings that will be eaten. 1.23 billion chicken wings.
Damn.
It's a lot of chicken wings.
So if I eat 30, that's really not that many.
No, 30's nothing.
Nothing.
It will cost you a little bit more at NRG Stadium. We might have to factor that in.
And I'm going to need to get a couple things of dental floss.
By the way, we're getting a huge response for sending Harry to the Super Bowl. Huge response. It's unbelievable. Nobody seems to care about Harry. I don't. It's kind of disappointing. $14,500. Would you want to gange 14,500 tons. 14,500
pizza.
That would be the chips and chips and guacamole.
Oh, guac is good. Fresh guac is so good.
Yeah.
What about beer? How much beer is consumed tomorrow?
51.7 million cases of beer will be consumed tomorrow by 1.5 million people.
Cases?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 51.7 million, that's the number of cases that will be sold, yes.
That's a lot of beer.
Now, what percentage of that, how many people do you think are going to call in sick? On Monday.
It's got to be, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the number one day in America for people calling in sick to work.
I'm not sure if that's true or not, but they are estimating that 1.5 million people are going to call in sick on Monday.
Well, it's not even close. And then this is why it should be a national holiday, because people aren't going to go. And if you're a boss, the people that do show up, they're going to be dragging ass.
So you're saying that Monday should be a holiday?
Yeah, or... do a noon start, noon kickoff.
312-981-7200, Super Bowl holiday. Why not just play the game on Saturday night? Because Saturday night's not as good of a night for TV. I understand it's all about TV. So there's not really a good solution. You don't want to make the game at noon. The only thing we can do is make it a national holiday. Or, just accept that the American public is not going to be at their best the day after the Super Bowl. I'm good with that. Not being at your best is something I'm very accustomed to.
If the average price of a Super Bowl ticket today is $4,800.
Yeah, that's whatever that stat is incorrect. I'm checking StubHub.
But that's just like an average. So for every guy that's buying one in the first row, you know, or buy, you know, football, you don't want to sit in the first row. But like for all the great 50-yard line seats that are 20 rows up, there's people that are sitting in the seat you described back at the end zone last row.
You could go best seat in the house right now, Houston, for double the price of your upper level corners. It's about $4,400 for the best seat in the house.
Really?
Yeah.
So this number is whacked.
Yeah, that number's wrong.
Oh, well, this number's wrong.
Yeah.
And the first Super Bowl, face value on the ticket, $12.
We'll say that again?
The very first Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, $12.
$12.
Yeah, I did a Super Bowl then and now video last year. It's amazing how times have changed. It really is truly amazing.
That's cool.
I'll forward that video to you. You can just sit there and watch it and be amazed.
I would appreciate it.
Are you in? How many? What's the number of rooms that a brand new hotel will serve as the NFL Super Bowl headquarters? It's brand new hotel. Here you go, buddy.
The hotel that we were in, we didn't get to stay in that one, but the hotel that they had the media in, like the Radio Row in Indianapolis, was brand new, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was like the greatest hotel ever in Indianapolis, and I forgot what it was, if it was a Marriott or what it was, but it was like built for the Super Bowl.
Right. That's what's going on. There are 1,000 rooms in this thing.
1,000 rooms?
Yeah, good fluffy pillow over there.
Yeah. You know what was great about Indianapolis?
I like Indianapolis.
Yeah. You know, it's a straight shot. First of all, it's a straight shot.
Very easy to get to.
Right down 65.
What's the steak joint?
Oh, boy, I got a story for that, too.
Shrimp cocktail?
Oh, it's the best. Come on. God, Mac always talked about it. We went there the night before the Super Bowl.
Right. Famous steakhouse. Dan Long, do you know? I know you've been there, Dan Long. You're a man of the people.
Come on.
Oscar Schmidt's.
No, it's not Oscar Schmidt. No, you're thinking about Frog Legs. That Phil Schmitz was a frog leg place. No, come on. The
famous indie steakhouse.
Indie steakhouse is for $400, Alex.
That would be St. Elmo's.
St. Elmo's.
Yeah, there you go.
We went there. There was a line out the door. Mm-hmm. Line out the door. And there were four of us. And they're like, hey, let's not go in there. I'm like, come on, let's throw it against the wall. See if it sticks. So I weaseled my way in through the bar, where I'm quite comfortable. And I found the maitre d'. And I asked her, I said, can you help me out, please? And I gave her a story. And she got us a table in about 20 minutes. Four of us. We sat.
What was the story?
The story was that I was entertaining somebody important from my old network.
Were you?
Yeah. I was entertaining Yurko. And... we went, we sat in between, yes, I'm sorry.
Well, I just want to name it. You lied to the maitre d' at St. Elmo's to get a table.
I didn't lie.
Sounds like
I
you lied.
I stretched the truth.
That's a lie.
I stretched the truth.
Lying is fine, it's not great, but, you know, let's be honest about our lying now, Harry.
It's, you know what, it's a quality, you know, remember that show we did when Obama said that Michael Jordan is so great that people refer to them, you know, that you're referred to, if you're the best in the field you're in, you are the Michael Jordan of that field.
Yeah.
Remember, then we took really good calls about people that were the Michael Jordan of this, Michael Jordan of that.
Yeah.
I was the Michael Jordan of jersey numbers. You were the Michael Jordan of beating 70-year-olds in tennis.
Yep, that's me.
Okay, so another thing that I'm really good at is like hostess conversations.
Finagling.
I do, Carmen said I did a Jedi mind trick. So we sat down for dinner. And again, there was a line like just to like look into the restaurant. We sat between Mike Smith and Mike Smith, the coordinator now. He used to be the head coach of Atlanta. And he was with Brian Billick. And at the other table was Troy Aikman. And ever since that night, I've been obsessed with Troy Aikman's hands. He has the largest hands in the history of the world. I mean, take man hands times 100. But it was St. Elmo's. It's great. Shrimp cocktail's great. I don't know what they do to it, but it's awesome.
It's a very spicy shrimp cocktail. Tom is very upset with America calling WGN right now. Yes, Tom's upset. Hey, Tom.
No, I'm not upset. I just think it's nonsense that you can't go to work the next day. In fact, instead of the Super Bowl, why don't you come out to Arlington Park on March 18th and watch the Wiener Dogs run?
So, Tom, You found a way to promote your product. That's a good job, Tom.
Well, we're a Dachshund rescue, and the little dogs, we run them in five divisions. They run for prizes, so come on out to Arlington Park on March 18th. You have a lot of fun, and it's early in the afternoon.
Where do you don't race them?
It's indoor.
You don't race them on the track, do you?
Oh, no. This is indoor.
Okay.
Indoor dog racing
about,
at the
track. They only run about 40 feet.
And isn't it like a lot of pressure on the Dachshunds to run so fast when they've got those jockeys on their backs?
Well, they don't have jockeys on their backs.
Tom, good job, man.
You guys have a great show. Keep it up.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we offer opportunities. You want to promote something, go ahead.
You know, I appreciate a masterful stealth plug sometimes.
Hey, that was good. Good. Go, Tom.
Got to respect the craft.
March 18th, Arlington Park. Hey, don't forget to explore Chicago's culinary side with Chicago Tribune's Food and Dining Newsletter. You can sign up today at chicagotribune.com/newsletters and live deliciously. More Nuggets on the Super Bowl coming up. And then 4:30, we're going to get off football for just a matter of moments. Power crew outside right now. Mike Jacobson, producer of the morning show, Steve Cochran, not wearing his White Sox hat today, just looking very professional. So good to see you guys. Thanks for coming by. Are you going to come in and say hello? Maybe. Okay, great. 720 WGN. All right, Harry. You ready for this one?
I am so ready.
What percentage of Super Bowl commercials at 720 WGN? He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. Dan Long producing with you till 6:30. What percentage, Harry, we're talking a little Super Bowl 51 here. What percentage of Super Bowl commercials which do not boost sales or purchase intent? What percentage of the commercials tomorrow are going to do absolutely nothing?
Why would you want that?
You wouldn't. But the reality is they pay huge money, and whether people actually go out and buy the product is, there's no guarantees.
I'm going to say a fifth, 20%.
20% that nobody buys those products?
Yes, that doesn't help. That doesn't help the product.
The answer is 80.
What?
80%.
That can't be accurate.
Well, it can be.
I mean,
you could dispute the number if you'd like.
Well, I mean, I'm no expert. Hey, I mean, you know, the Budweiser commercials are great. There's McDonald's commercials. I would think that like that would make people want to go out and buy a six pack of Bud Light or go get a Big Mac. You know, I mean, I would think that like, you know, some of the car commercials, you can't just go out, you know, those are only going to appeal to a certain amount of Americans.
I'll enjoy the Bud Light or Budweiser commercial tomorrow. I am never going out and buying a six pack of Bud Light. It will never happen.
Why? You better than the rest of America?
No, I just have been going to make a different choice on my beer product.
Right. But
there's nothing they could do.
But I mean, if they do a commercial for a $100,000 car, there's only so many people that are going to be in the market for a $100,000 car. Whereas a lot of Americans could, you know, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go buy some Bud Light.
I'm not saying that Bud Light shouldn't advertise. Clearly, Bud Light has many, many studies and expert and analysts that are figuring out that it is worth them to be in the Super Bowl. I'm just saying, for me personally, they're not going to sway me. It ain't going to happen. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
What percentage of viewers do you think say they recognize a brand more after its first Super Bowl commercial? First time, they pop it on there for you.
I'm going to say 50%.
13.
What?
13%.
Come on.
Which is why, I don't know if you've ever
stretch.
I don't know if you've ever been in radio sales.
Yes.
Which I did do back at good old WLBK in DeKalb, Illinois.
It all started at a 5,000-watt radio station in Fresno, California.
Who is that?
That's Ted Knight.
Oh, okay.
Ted Baxter from Mary Tyler Moore Show.
My bad. Reference I did not get. I was the greatest salesman in the history of Merlin. With Merlin, we care about more than your car.
Uh-huh.
You know, they made it like real family feeling.
Sure.
Merlin, I was in there, man. I was getting an oil change like three every other day.
Sales is a very tough job.
Tough job.
People that are good in radio sales are excellent at it. And I feel like I was in radio sales working hand in hand with them for 20 years.
Right. Well, so the thing is in radio sales, what you tell clients is you can't do it one time. You got to hear it over and over and over
again. Right. Well, that's truth.
So that question is, what percentage of viewers say they recognize a brand more after its first Super Bowl commercial? For a one-time commercial, that 13% of the people now recognize that brand. That's pretty good, Harry. Because how many times do you have to hear a commercial on the radio, you know, driving around where it registers? It takes a second.
But I take it to mean like once you've seen it, you know the product the second time. You know, they don't do it anymore, but Masterlock used to spend their entire budget for advertising for the year on one Super Bowl commercial.
Wow.
And the reason they don't do it anymore is they don't have a budget that's big enough. But they used to put it all into one 30-second ad in the Super Bowl. I heard that this year is going to be the lowest amount of celebrity endorsements in like 25 years.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
So you won't be doing a commercial?
No, not this year. But I think next year I'm already locked in.
Excellent. Yep. Merlin?
Yep. No. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. .437, good afternoon, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon, he's Harry Tynowitz. Dan Long producing, Bob Kessler in the newsroom, people on the street pointing at me. Have a great afternoon, love you guys.
They're not laughing at you, they're laughing with you.
Great family in front of the window right now, look at them. Four kids, mom and dad, Harry, out there on a whatever it is today, February the 4th. Just the weather doesn't bother that family. They're tough, they're grinding, they got their ski hats on, they're going to take in this city.
Yeah, well, heck yeah. Heck yeah. This is the greatest city in the world, Chicago.
Right. So if you're sitting in your house right now and you're thinking, oh, it's too cold, I can't go outside. Oh, I just love my bed. You know what? There's a whole world waiting for you out there. That's why I'm going for a run right after the show, Harry. You want to come?
You know what? I would love to go for a run with you, but I would rather sit. I don't run. Jewish people don't run.
How about just stand up? Just give me a stand up.
I'll stand.
There, give me a good stand.
I was a stand up for 7 years.
There you go. All right. Now I feel better. Hey, you know what my highlight moment of the week was? Dan Long standing too. Now we're all standing. This is awesome. We're all standing. The show is on its feet. You want to do some jumping jacks? Do we need energy on the program right now? You want to do a little stretch? How about do a little stretch? There you go, Harry.
Just feel the burn.
There you go.
Feel the burn.
Lift the right.
Stretch.
Lift the right arm up there. Yeah.
Mercy.
Okay. There you go. Oh, see, now we're alive. Now we're cooking. All right. Here it is. My favorite moment of the sports week. It starts with Shaquille O'Neal.
There's a difference between criticism and personal. I guarantee you LeBron wasn't mad at the whiny or the inappropriate. When you said that man doesn't want to compete, that's what ticked him off. And I would have did the same thing. I would have came right back at your rack. I would have came up here and punched you in your face. That's what I would have did.
Well, first of all, you're not a good fighter. listen, our job, we got a job to do. Our job is to give our opinion.
Okay,
it's not always
personal. He went personal. No, it's over now. So let's go.
Wait a minute. Listen, first of all, we just disagree on the personal. Like I say, I look at this big picture. I'll take my chances. If we lose to the Golden State Warriors or the Spurs, and I got Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson, I'm good. If I'm Carmelo Anthony or Russell Westbrook, I can complain and say I don't have enough help. But if I got two other All-Stars and I'm the greatest player in the world, I don't think it's too much to say, like, I take my chances.
So in your mind, are we done? Is this done?
It's done. It was done after he said what he said, and it bothers me when people are like, well, what are you gonna say? I'm like, dude, I'm not 12. Ooh, he said something bad about me. I got to say something bad about him. I'm not 12 years old. I'm a 53-year-old man who'll be 54 in 3 weeks. This notion that just because somebody insult me, I'm not 12. I'm not back in Leeds, Alabama, in the projects where you knock a stick off my shoulder and all hell break loose.
So that's Charles Barkley. That's Ernie Johnson in the middle of it, the best studio host in television, and that's Shaquille O'Neal defending LeBron James.
It's good, and LeBron was saying that he wanted a point guard, and they brought a bunch of guys in there. Kirk Heinrich. Can you imagine if they signed Kirk Heinrich to play for the Cleveland Cavs?
Yeah, so LeBron, just to rewind the story, if people missed it, I feel like I didn't set it up well here. LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers finished January under 500. LeBron went to the media and said that we need help. We need more. We need a playmaker on our team. We don't have a backup point guard. And then Charles went on Inside the NBA and said, does he want all the best players? Does he want to compete? How could he possibly be asking for more help when he's asked for every single thing and they've gotten him everything, including Kyle Korver this year? And then LeBron went at Charles and said, I didn't say that I wasn't a role model. I didn't throw somebody through a window. I didn't have gambling debts in Las Vegas. I'm not on TV every night because I need money. I mean, he attacked him, I thought, way below the belt, super personal. The other side of it for me, too, if I may, I think LeBron, as much as I really don't want to hear him complain about who's around him, the reality is Golden State does have a better team than the Cavs. Golden State added Kevin Durant, so they do need more help.
Four All-Stars.
Right, so they do need more if they're going to win. And LeBron is at the back end of his prime, and he does have the ability to put a lot of pressure on management. There are certain players who never turn up the heat on management because they want to be nice guys. One guy I could point to on the north side of town who, when he was here forever, never, ever turned up the heat because he just loved being a Cub and doing his Cub thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Was he a first baseman?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes.
Like, Mark Grace never said a damn thing about how things went on over there.
Mark Grace was a phenomenal baseball player, and he was spectacular off the field. He lived here year-round. Every time he left the house, he was aware that he represented the Cubs. And Sammy Sosa was going for the all-time home run record, and they would always have Grace speaking publicly instead of Sammy.
Yeah. Let me bring it into a basketball term. Let's think about this. There was this Bulls team that was super close for a bunch of years here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever hear Derrick Rose say anything as far as, hey, John Paxson, you ever going to get me some help here? I can't do it alone?
No, I didn't hear him say that.
Okay, now would that have been bad for the Bulls if he had done that?
No.
As uncomfortable as it would have been for him to sit up there? It
would have been accurate.
Right. It would have been accurate. And if he had sat there with Casey Johnson or Joe Colley or whoever and said, listen, I can't do this by myself. I love my teammates, but we need more. It's an uncomfortable position to do. Because not only are you putting yourself in front of the media fire, but you're also kind of being a jerk to your teammates. You guys aren't good enough. I need help. Like, it takes a certain level of courage or audacity or whatever word you want to pick to do it. And so, as much as I don't want to hear LeBron complain, because they did just win the NBA championship, the reality is they do need some help, and so he's right to do it. And so, like, I'm all over the place on this. Like, I think he was wrong to go below the belt with Charles, and I think Charles was, you know, his analysis of what LeBron said was, I understood it, but I thought he was wrong. All of it was entertaining. Am I making sense to you?
Hey, it was entertaining. You know, LeBron James, for me, has done an amazing turnaround in terms of how people perceive him. When he made the announcement, when he was live on TV with Pinocchio, a.k.a. Jim Gray, and he said, I'm taking my talents to South Beach, that night, I think I joined most of America in going, what a jerk. You know, he said that he made the announcement into a television show because he wanted to support the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. He could have written them a check. He made that announcement because it was about ego. And if I'm a Cleveland Cavs fan and that's the way I find out that the greatest player in the history of my franchise is leaving, that would suck. But LeBron has gone out of his way and turned it around, and I think now there's a lot of people that cheer for him. I was rooting for LeBron to beat Golden State, and he did. But he was vicious with Barkley. Barkley did throw a guy through a glass window at a bar in Milwaukee.
Well, and let's remember the circumstances from that, not to recommend throwing people through windows, but this guy walked up on Charles
right in
a bar and was being aggressive with him, and Charles said, you're either going to back off or you're going through that window, and he didn't back off, and so Charles said, let him know and everybody else know, you walk up on me, it's going to be a problem for you if you're not respectful.
I've never met Charles Barkley. Every story I hear about him, he's a great guy.
I've met him. He's the best.
Okay, I've heard three different stories about him being in Chicago Cut. Three different nights, and he is like so friendly to total strangers. He's friendly to fans. He's friendly to people. And one night, the Minnesota Wild were having a party in one of the back rooms there, and he walked in, and then he goes, "Hey, where are all the black hockey players at?" And he hung out with the Wild. And the guys on the Wild were talking about what a thrill it was to meet Charles Barkley. So, I mean, I love Charles Barkley. If you're making me pick, like, who's right in this conversation, it's totally Barkley.
Well, and you don't – I'm not making you pick at all. I think you can be on both sides here. But I think to Chuck's point, look, man, I'm on Inside the NBA. I am paid to have an opinion.
Right.
Now, he does some stuff that is funny, but it's not really, if I was TNT, I wouldn't want him saying, like, he sits up there and he openly talks about how he doesn't watch the games.
Right. Well, there's people on sports radio in this town that do that as well.
They actually admit to it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's, look, Charles Barkley, if you ask me, the one place he didn't belong was when they had that crew covering the college basketball tournament. And they'll be doing it again. Because, you know, Barkley knows the NBA. He knows it like the back of his hand. And he can afford to miss a game. And he can still tell you what a great player DeMarcus Cousins is. You know, he can still tell you, like, how overrated other guys are. But he was lost in college basketball talk because he doesn't follow college hoops.
Right, but he also could watch the game and tell you exactly what's going on.
He would know a lot more if he watched the game. You know, also, like, LeBron says he's on the air because he needs money. He gets a lot of money. I don't know if that's why he's on the air.
And even if he is on the air because he needs the dough, what's wrong with that? He's working. It ain't like he's stealing.
We talked earlier about, you know, that Joe Montana, even though he's got four rings and Brady might get his fifth tomorrow, that Joe Montana is still, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time. Joe Montana went behind them, you know, went to TV and tried being, a TV analyst for football. He was awful at it. There have been many superstar players in all four sports that have gone on TV and been bad, and then they're not on TV anymore. Charles Barkley was, you know, a member of the Dream Team. He was great, but he's terrific, you know, on the TNT show.
It's the best sports show on television. It's not close, right? I mean, would anybody argue with that? I don't think.
You're forgetting Sports Feed.
Well, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Payton hopefully coming up later.
Josh
in the show.
Friedman, CLTV.
Yeah, I with all due respect to Sports Feed and both those guys, I think they would say that Inside the NBA is better. I think they would. I think they wouldn't. They wouldn't argue with that, Kerry. But it's very nice of you. Hey, 312-981-7200. Who's the villain? Who are you a fan of between LeBron and Charles? Are people paying attention to this? I hope you are. It's really great entertainment. It's a quick timeout at 720 WGN. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen, 452. Hope you're having a great Saturday. With you till 6:30. Blackhawks and the Stars tonight. Judd Surratt, your pregame show at 6:30. John and Troy, of course, with the call at 7. As the Hawks trying to mount a winning streak after beating Arizona the other night 4-3.
It was great seeing the power play back on track for the Blackhawks. And I have never seen what I saw in the second period the other night. Three different times the Blackhawks shot the puck into the stands, which, as you know, is a delay of game penalty. Three times in one period. That's insane.
Well, things come in threes, Harry. So once it happened the second time, I knew a third was coming.
Celebrity deaths are like that.
Except for last year when there was like hundreds
too many.
Hey, 312-981-7200. We're talking Charles Barkley and LeBron James and the feud, the NBA, the inside the NBA on TNT. One of the great spokesmen of the league, or commentators of the league, I should say, and Charles and the best player in the league in LeBron. Is this good for basketball? Whose side are you on? Donna, welcome to 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I said I was on Team Charles Barkley, and when they asked me why, I said, you know, my kids are grown, but when they were younger, he came out with a statement that, I'm not your mentor. I'm not your idol. That's your parents' job. They're supposed to do that. I agreed 1,000% with that. I don't want my kids following thugs, and I didn't want them following superstars. As the parent, we should be the role models. And I really always remember that and loved them for it.
Let me ask you about that, though, Donna. Let's go a little deeper here. What about kids that don't have the parental structure that you provided for your family? I mean, they do look up to a guy like Charles or like LeBron, right?
I'm sure, yeah. Depending on what neighborhood and everything they're from. I mean, we're the Michael Jordan era, and he, you know, still walks on water here. So I guess I could see a point if you're looking at a child that has nobody to look up to, but I still go back to, I think it should be your parents, maybe your pastor, your teacher. But as a parent of two boys, I really wanted to be the one that they listened to what I had to say, not what, you know, a songwriter or a superstar has to say.
But
I don't know. He always just kind of struck me as wonderful for saying that.
Yep.
Donna, I'm with you. And, you know, Donna, they can enjoy that songwriter. They can have a favorite, you know, song, a favorite basketball player. And I love it that you have that memory from so long ago. And that's why you'll always be a Charles Barkley fan. But you're right. You know, it's all about the parent. It's all about the parent and what you do. And we've, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of kids that grow up in one-parent homes. And, you know, they don't have the, you know, male role model. And so they'll gravitate towards it. But, you know.
Well, that was my case. I was a single mom. So I was really, you know, especially wanting that thrown back into my lap. Hey, I'm the one that decides what you should do and not do. So I agree with what you're saying, too.
Donna, did your kids give you enough credit over time for raising them the right way?
Oh, Lord, no.
That's what I was hearing.
Yeah, they're ready to put me in a home anytime now.
Don't do that.
Happy Valley for me, for Mom. Oh, no, they always say they'll put me in the home, the crooked home, where, you know, where they're shoving me in the closet for a few hours.
Donna,
they're rotten, but I tried.
Well, Donna, we appreciate you here at 720 WGN. Does that feel all right?
It feels much better.
There
thank
we go.
You.
Have a great rest of your day, Donna. Thanks for calling.
You too. Go Hawks.
There you go.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks, 720 WGN, yep. Blackhawks Hockey Night. Thanks, Donna.
Can I ask you a basketball question as long as we're on basketball?
Please.
Before we get back to Super Bowl? I mean, I know how it happened, but how did the Bulls lose that game last night?
Well, you know, I actually give the Bulls a ton of credit last night for coming. They were down early.
They were down 17.
Right. They were down big early. Thank you. They're on the road.
They're up 8 with a few minutes left in the game.
Well, yep. NBA games, long games, man. And I can't. They made a couple of huge, huge errors down the stretch, as they've done a bunch of times this year, and Houston, you know, James Harden was incredible, and they came up short. But I no Jimmy Butler last night. You took the Rockets to overtime on the road, and then you blew out Oklahoma City by 28 in the game before that. I thought it was actually a pretty good week for the Bulls.
How about MCW? How about Michael Carter Williams, who went from starter to being the last, not playing, to being the last guy in on that Oklahoma City game? It's the last player that Fred put on the floor, and he starts because Butler's not going to play. 23 points for Michael Carter-Williams.
He also guarded Harden all night.
Yeah. By the way, have you seen a worse call in the NBA than the sixth foul that was called on Michael Carter-Williams last night?
Wasn't good.
It was awful.
No respect.
James Harden, fear the beard, just kind of collapsed. He literally put his body on his and fell over on top of him, and they called MCW for the sixth foul.
Right, but Harden, to the referee's slight defense, very slight, but Harden was getting killed all night.
That's not that play, though. That's terrible.
I understand, but I think the whole game factored into that call at that time.
But it can't. It's not about that. The refs were very – I thought that the refs – usually, you know, you watch a game, you go, oh, they blew that call, and you see the replay, and like, oh, they didn't blow it. They got it right. Shame on me. The refs were bad last night.
In a utopian world, of course, it goes the way you're talking about. But at some point in time, a superstar is going to get the benefit of the doubt. And I thought pretty much all game long, Harden was going to the hoop and was getting cracked, and there was a lot of – there weren't a lot of whistles, and he didn't – he's a pretty significant complainer. I thought he actually bit his tongue pretty well last night.
There was an awful call to help the Bulls. The Bulls had 1 second left on the shot clock late in the game, and they inbounded the ball, and like I believe it was Trevor Ariza, he knocked it out with his hand, and they said it went off his foot. He kicked it, and they put 14 back on the clock. That was a terrible call.
Great. I don't think it necessarily would have mattered, but maybe it would have. I don't know. I don't know, Harry. I can't get my dander up on last night's game. I'm sorry.
All right.
Hey, a quick timeout. Into the 5 o'clock hour we go. Sports heartache hopefully not coming our way. 720 WGN.
We lose!
Chicago Sports. Spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
720 WGN, indeed. This is Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. Dan Long producing. Bob Kessler News with you till 6:30. Blackhawks in Dallas coming up. You want to join the show, feel free. 312-981-7200. We actually have an opportunity for you right now to win something. And, Harry, what I like to call ourselves right here on 720 WGN is a full-service sports show.
Yep. Full service. So it's not just about the Super Bowl or the Blackhawks. There's a lot of different branches on this sports tree called the Beat.
Right. We haven't even mentioned that spring training is coming up February the 14th.
Pitchers and catchers report.
Right. And that the Cubs are going for a back-to-back. We haven't even mentioned it. People that are already calling in trying to win something, you don't know what you're trying to win. But, Dan, you could put them on hold, and we can do this on the fly. But there was a major, major trade that happened this week in Chicago. Major trade. This city traded a former MVP. MVP of the league. And was shipped off out of here.
You're not talking about this week in history.
No.
You're talking about, this actual last 5 days.
Yes. This past week, major, major trade. And I haven't heard even a peep of uprising from any of the great fans of this city. And I truly believe this is the best sports city in America.
Because it is.
In the whole wide world, for that matter. And we had a golden ticket. We had...
Oh, my God.
A transformational player.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that player anymore. 312-981-7200. Who am I talking about? And why aren't you outraged? Or are you? And perhaps this is bringing it home for you. And I know that when I went to sports radio class,
mm-hmm.
they told me that the key thing to do is to speak on...
Popular?
What people want to talk about.
The events of the day.
Right. What are they talking about? That's what you should be talking about. And not a lot of people are talking about this.
Like, for example, the Super Bowl.
Right.
Or the Hall of Fame selections about to take place.
Yes.
Or the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Correct.
About to be given out.
Correct.
Like, those would be big things. The Blackhawks playing a divisional opponent in the always tough Dallas Stars.
Yes. All that. But sometimes you have to shine a light on things, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to step outside the box and bring to light disappointments, significant sports upsets that are not being discussed, and that's what we're doing right now.
Trade.
Yeah.
Well, I do know what it is. I'm just very surprised that this is on the menu here, on the docket. But I love it. That's what's great about you, Carm. That's why people listen to the Beat, is because they never know which way you're going to go. They think you're going to zig and you zag.
630 texting in. Carmen, you are so full of... That's not
life?
Nice. That's not nice. What type of way is that to treat your radio? Well,
what number can they text into?
That would be 312-981-7200. Okay. I'm not just going to give away this Lou Malnati's. Would you like to read the gift card, Dan?
Lou Mal's.
Let's go $25 to Lou Malnati's. 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online, www.loumalnatis.com.
You're going to have to know what I'm talking about, and then you're going to have to answer just one question to follow it up. So those on hold, if the first person knows what I'm talking about, you still have a chance.
You're not talking about Gustav Forsling being recalled from Rockford to the Blackhawks.
I'm not. Brian, welcome to WGN.
How's it going?
How are you, Brian? Do you know what we're talking about? Have you deciphered the direction?
I do.
What is it?
Elena Del Don.
That's right, Brian.
Well, you didn't give us the name accurately.
Well, yeah, what's her name, Brian?
Is it Elena Del Don?
Not really,
you got
no.
One-third of it right. I mean, you are correct, and you know, you're the first in, and you are correct, but, you know, I would give you the Lou Mouse.
Who did Elena Della, is what you're missing, your Don, play for, Brian?
The Mystic.
Okay.
Or no, not the Mystic. She got traded to the Mystic, but she played for the Sky.
I give him credit. She went to the Mystic.
For the win here, Brian.
Yeah.
Name one of the pieces that came back back to the Chicago Sky in the trade. If you can do that, you're in. It's a little tough, I know, but you got her name wrong.
Didn't they get draft picks for her?
Oh, that is one of the pieces. Right? Technically, Mark, that's one of the pieces. They got the second pick in the draft.
They did get the second pick in the draft. Brian, you're a winner. Hang on, buddy.
There's two players that came back.
Yep, right.
He said Elena Del Don. Elena Della Don.
Dan Long, can I get a vote from the judge of the show? Did Brian just win or did he not win?
Yeah, I think we got to give it to him.
Okay.
Since he knew one of the pieces of the deal and where she went.
Okay, fair enough. Brian, hang on. I want to talk to more people about this. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, you
hello.
There? Hello, Matt. Matt, did you know who we were talking about?
Yes, sir.
Matt, are you upset?
A little bit.
Did we as a city not appreciate who we had in this town?
We never appreciate anybody we have other than Jordan. And don't get me wrong, Michael Jordan is like the saint of basketball in this town. I totally agree with that. But there are other people in other sports that we could put up on a pillar. For instance, not Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler would not be put on a pillar. Scottie Pippen, we could put him on a pillar. Tony Kukoc, put him on a pillar. Rex Grossman, not on a pillar. There are so many different options, and yet all we ever do is put Jordan up there, and it's time we started respecting other folks too.
That's a great call, Matt.
Tony Kukoc is, you know, Tony Kukoc, I loved him as a player, the waiter, and a big part of championships for the Bulls. But I'm kind of surprised, Matt, that that's like the first guy you went to after Pippen.
Well, I mean, there was Steve Kerr. The only reason why I bring up Tony Kukoc, I used to work in Northbrook, and he actually walks around Northbrook Court with a group of elderly folk every week.
That's great.
At like 7 o'clock in the morning. That's the only reason why he popped into my head. But Steve Kerr, Horace Grant, I mean, tons of people.
Right. You know, Steve Kerr, I wonder what he's doing now. Steve Kerr, Steve Kerr used to, you know, we have many athletes that devote time to charity, and, you know, Rizzo will go visit kids in the hospital and you'll hear about it. Other times he'll go and you won't hear about it. Steve Kerr once took a bunch of kids from the Maryville Academy to like a holiday dinner, a Christmas dinner at Harry Carey's, and never sent out one press release. Just did it because it was the right thing to do. That's a hell of a guy, and he could sink a jumper.
Right. Well, Steve Kerr's just a very, very interesting guy. Lost his father to terrorist attack in Beirut.
It was horrible.
I mean, it just you get a lot of perspective in life when something like that happens to you, right? And Steve's always had a tremendous world perspective, and he was great as a player here, and he's doing okay for himself, as you mentioned, Harry, in Golden State. Matt, thanks for the call as we do our tribute to Elena Della Don right now. What will you miss most about Elena Della Don? Let's get Jeff in here as we I think somebody in the city should step up and give Elena Della Don some love.
And what do you think Elena Della Don's doing for the Super Bowl?
Jeff, welcome to 720 WGN. Your thoughts on Elena?
Elena was a great player, is a great player. She could spot up. She could go down in the post. She could shoot the three. It was a bad trade.
She was the MVP of the league, right, Jeff?
She sure was.
And she, do you remember where she played her college ball, Jeff?
Delaware.
That's right. Look at you.
Give me the mascot.
Oh, that's a good question.
Delaware.
has a color in it.
You're awesome, Carm.
And a chicken, sort of.
Don't know, but I do know one of the other two players they got back.
Oh yeah, who?
Would that be good enough for Lou Mells?
Maybe. Go ahead, continue on.
Kalia Copper.
Kalia Copper is correct, and the number two pick in this year's draft, and then
the center that used to play at UConn.
Right.
Stephanie Dolson.
Top pick. She was the seventh player taken in the draft last year.
No, Copper was the seventh.
Come on,
Harry.
Hey, I know Delaware Blue Hens. What starting NFL quarterback went to Delaware?
Joe Flacco.
Look at you. You got to give him Lou Mells now.
Jeff, you're in. Great call. Love you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy. All right, good job by Jeff as we continue our Elena Della Don tribute. Mike, you went to Sky Games? Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. Before Elena Della Donne, their center was Sylvia Fowles.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't have anyone around her. She was a real good player. I used to take my daughter to a lot of games because those players after the game will sign anything for the kids. They always have two or three players meeting with the kids. They're very friendly. And we paid like $40 a seat. We were three rows from the court, and she got a basketball, a hat, and a couple other things.
Wait a second.
You can't beat the price.
Mike, you went premium Sky ticket for $40 a shot?
Yes.
That's significant, significant dedication, Mike. Like, what's the cheapest seat? You probably could have sat wherever you wanted, couldn't you? But you wanted to be up close.
Yeah. We were up close at the time my daughter was playing basketball in grade school.
Uh-huh.
She switched sports now. She's in swimming. So we went there. You know, you park, you pull right up. You know, you don't have problems. Going to Rosemont is great for anything. The traffic and the police just move you through. We parked right in front. We walked right in. We had seats three rows from the court. It was great. You know, she got a regulation basketball with it, with our two seats. And after the game, there's always a couple players who are going to sign autographs till everybody leaves.
That's so
awesome. One of the games was Fan Appreciation Day, where every player from both teams were signing autographs.
Mike, so I'm taking it your vision was you wanted your daughter to be involved in sports. You figured taking her to the games would be a way to kind of excite her to do it. Is that accurate?
Yes, she was in basketball, but she switched. She's happy with swimming. So if there was a swimming match, I'd take her to that. But we had a great time going out to the Sky Games.
You're a good dad, Mike. Way to connect with your daughter.
Okay, let's go Atlanta tomorrow.
There you go, Super Bowl talk. What are you doing for the game, Mike?
I'm going to my old parish. They're having a Super Bowl fundraiser for the sports program.
You are a good man.
Thanks, Mike.
Looking out for the kids, looking out for the parish. You're a good man, Mike.
Have fun, Mike.
Thanks.
Appreciate you. Great call by Mike. Love that call.
Mm-hmm. $40. He went for the ultimate.
I mean, he went premium Sky ticket. That's a big-time move, Harry.
It is a big-time move. What do you think Elena Della Don is doing for the Super Bowl tomorrow?
She's getting fired up. She's ready to go.
Copper, what's her name?
Kalia Copper, Stephanie Dolson, and the number two pick in this year's draft for your Chicago Sky.
Okay, go Sky.
I personally feel better about us that we address this subject. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I do love the Allstate Arena. Northwestern's going to be playing their basketball games next year there.
Yes, they are. That is all true. I mean, we're getting a lot of texts on Elena Della Don right now. 708, my 11-year-old girl is very disappointed. She just got an Elena Fathead for Christmas. She sent me just a picture of the Fathead on the wall.
Wasn't she number 11?
You know what's that?
Is she number 11, Elena Della Don?
That's correct.
There you go. You know, I don't mean to.
It's Della Donne? It's Della Donne.
Whoa.
Is that true? I've always heard it Della Don. Is it Della Donne? Am I wrong? I feel terrible if that's the case.
Well, I mean, how could so now it's even more transparent, and I'm guilty of it too. I thought it was Elena Della Don. She's an MVP in the league, and we don't even know how to pronounce her name.
Right in this city.
You know, the Bears drafted a receiver from Oklahoma State who was like the first guy to have 1,000 yards receiving in all four college seasons, Mike Haas. And after being here for like, you know, a season, he said, by the way, my name is Mike Haas. You know, he didn't want to, like, make waves. I get that. But, you know, if you're Elena Della Donne, you know, don't you say something? Or how do we not know that that's how you pronounce your name?
I don't know, Harry. Regardless, I think we had good intention here.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to back us up. And I feel positive about what we just did. The one cool story about Elena,
yes,
if I may.
You don't want to tell a Rob Minkovich story instead?
No.
A Julio Jones story.
Last one, we can do that next. But last one, Elena, she was told, this is important, actually. Mm-hmm. She, you know, when she was super young, she's way taller than all her friends. And she wanted to take growth stunting pills.
What?
Yes, true story. And her mom was like, no, you are not doing that. It's cool to be unique. Why would you want to be just a bunch of the pack? Why don't you want to stand out? And so you will appreciate this down the road. And so they did not give in, did not cave. She's from very tall parents, as you would imagine, 6'2 mom, 6'6 dad. And they told her, hey, just hang in there. And she did, and she became this special human being.
See, I wish my mom would have stopped me from taking them.
Yeah. You could have been a star, Harry.
I could have, would have, should have.
Sorry it didn't work out.
Oh, man.
Celebrate your uniqueness. A public service announcement from 720 WGN. Quick time out. Back in a second. WGN. So many texts on Elena. She demanded to be traded. She's going to sit out the entire season until next year, and she was a free agent. I get it. She wanted to go home and be close to her family.
Right.
I understand all that. She's got a special needs sister. A lot of family stuff was into the decision. All I'm saying is this city was very tepid on respecting Elena on the way out the door while she was here, and I know that women's basketball on the professional level is not a huge story. But I do think there was a certain segment of the population that was being misrepresented by not talking about it, and that population just came racing through in that last segment. So it was a pleasure to do that.
I think you led the parade there. I think you were the one that led that parade, and she was a great player, and I know that she wanted to go home, and it's kind of cool that the Sky helped her out.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't really know the inner workings of that whole situation. As you might expect, I'm not a complete expert on it.
I find that hard to believe.
It is hard to believe.
You're an expert on everything.
Well, that's, you know, I appreciate that, Harry. But you have to be, I was once told, know what you know and know what you don't know. And be cool with both. And, you know, if you want to step in and learn, that's great, too. Learning is a good thing.
Right. You know, one of the women that's a big football reporter now, Stacey Dales, I don't know if people realize that she was a star player in Chicago for, same team. I don't know if people are aware of that.
You know who I've been watching more and more?
She's
really, really, really good. What female reporter who's hosting her own show might I be speaking of, Harry?
You are talking about...
Very entertaining, very quick on her feet, interesting.
Samantha Bee.
Rose... From her own podcast to her own show to from her own YouTube all the way to she's now on Fox. I'm talking about Katie Nolan.
I've seen her.
It is impressive. I got to tell you, if you're not seeing any Katie Nolan out there, I highly recommend her. That's a nice Google search. I also recommend Mark Carmen if you want to watch videos, listen to things. Click on WGNRadio.com.
What is your Twitter handle?
That'd be at the Carm.
At the Carm.
Yeah.
Follow right now.
No, but props to Katie Nolan, for real. I mean, that is one talented human being. She's really doing a great job. Little Bowie for you, huh? Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Carmen. Dan Long producing. Bob Kessler's shift is over. David Jennings is going to slide into the news chair. They're going to announce the 2017 Hall of Famers tonight, NFL style. Here's who's on the list, who could possibly be nominated to your Hall of Fame. Harry, first of all.
Yes.
I know you're very excited about this. Have you ever been to Canton, Ohio?
I have. I got to go once. My friend Joe Bill, who's... Dad played at Notre Dame. His uncle played at Notre Dame. His brothers went to Notre Dame. He went to Indiana, and a very Catholic family. He married a Jewish girl in Shaker Heights, Ohio. the day that Notre Dame played USC, so his whole family had to miss the game. And while we were in Shaker Heights for the wedding, we drove the next day to Canton, and that's when I got to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
That's love right there, what you just described. That's
it was awesome, and I can't imagine how it's changed since then. I'd love to go again.
So here are your 15 contenders to enter the Hall of Fame.
Yes, Jay Cutler. Oh, wait, you got to be retired.
Cutler's not on there. Neither is, let's see. Shockingly, neither is Alshon Jeffrey. Neither is Shea McClellan, who's about to win a Super Bowl tomorrow, or could, along with Martell Spencer.
Certainly playing it.
All right, so Morton Anderson, kicker. Yes. You remember him. New Orleans Saints, Atlanta Falcons, New York Giants. He was also a Chief. He was also a Viking.
I remember.
Yep, Morton Anderson. Got to be in there. Phenomenal kicker.
Yes. Do you want to read the 15 or do the guys? Morton Anderson's on my list.
Okay.
Now, Morton Anderson, you got to understand, okay, that not only did this guy play for 15 years, but Morton Anderson made 40 field goals from 50 yards or longer. 40 field goals from 50 yards or longer. And for his career, 565 out of 709. That's 80%. You got a kicker kicking from, you know, think about how many times you watch a game and the kicker misses. 80%, this guy deserves to be in. Now, here's the problem, is like most of America, the Hall of Fame disrespects kickers. There's only one kicker. There's only one kicker only. You know, George Blanda was a quarterback, and you know, Lou Groza was also a football player who both kicked. But the only kicker is Jan Stenerud.
I don't have a huge problem with kickers being extremely, extremely vetted. There's a word that's very, very much prominent right now. That doesn't bother me. Morton Anderson was elite, elite.
Yes, he was.
So,
and he's a Spartan.
Well, that's irrelevant, but okay. It's fine. I understand it. You got Michigan State love. All right, Tony Bissell. You want me to read the whole list? Is that what you prefer?
I think that's good, just okay, to get them all out there.
All right, here are the rest of the names. Tony Baselli, longtime tackle of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Isaac Bruce. Outstanding receiver. Played in the Super Bowl with the St. Louis Rams and also was a 49er as well. Don Coryell, Harry, who coached both the St. Louis Cardinals and the San Diego Chargers. Air Coryell, very, you know, that was the Dan Fouts here. Everybody loved it. I loved it. I was a Chargers fan back in the day, along with a Bears fan. Obviously, 10 times more a Bears fan, but I enjoyed watching San Diego
play. I've got some Air Coryell thoughts coming up for you.
All right, all right. Terrell Davis, running back, your Denver Bronco.
TD.
Yep, I mean, winning Super Bowls, the whole deal. Brian Dawkins, safety for your Philadelphia Eagles, and at the end of his career with the Broncos as well. Alan Faneca, a longtime guard of the Steelers, and then had a cup of coffee with the Jets, and then played 1 year with the Cardinals. Joe Jacoby, tackle with the Redskins, the Hogs.
He was a Hog.
Right, all day long. Ty Law, cornerback for the Pats, the Jets, the Chiefs, and the Broncos. I think that name being on there is a little bit over. He's out over his skis, but okay. John Lynch, now leaving the TV booth to get back into general managerness, and free safety for the Bucks and the Broncos. What do you think about John Lynch?
All right, John Lynch, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers still hold the record for the fewest points allowed in the season, and even though they had Mr. Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp on that defense, John Lynch was the quarterback of that defense. I will always say Derek Brooks is the best player on that defense, okay? Derek Brooks is just a god in terms of what he did defensively. But John Lynch is a tremendous safety. He's also been there. He's been close, which counts a lot for the way the NFL does their Pro Football Hall of Fame voting. I believe John Lynch gets in.
Okay. Terrell Owens?
Terrell Owens has to get in. This is a joke that he hasn't been in yet. 9 1,000-yard receiving seasons. 9 of them. He has 8 double-digit touchdown seasons. And in his career, he has 16,000 yards and 153 touchdowns.
Well, T.O., like, okay. The last three are Jason Taylor, longtime defensive end for the Dolphins, and then a little bit with the Redskins and the Jets. LaDainian Tomlinson, LT, crushed it with the Chargers and then ended up his career with the Jets. And then Kurt Warner, who I know you're a huge fan of, Harry. Go ahead and give your Kurt Warner love. Super Bowl with the Rams, and then was a Giant, and then wrapped his career almost equally impressively with the Arizona Cardinals.
He was great. Okay, so I asked Dan Long, the wonderful executive producer of The Beat, heard Saturdays 3 to 6, 3 to 7. I asked them to please make sure I had this fact right. Could you please pull all the best performances by quarterbacks in a Super Bowl? And there's been 50 Super Bowls, so that means there's been 100 quarterback performances. And of the 100, Kurt Warner has been in three games. He has the top three total yard games of all time. It's not like he's, you know, first, you know, seventh and 12th. He's 1, 2, 3. Kurt Warner had 414 yards in one game. He had 377 yards in another game with Arizona. And then his second Rams Super Bowl, he had 365. The three top performances in Super Bowl history in terms of yards were all Kurt Warner. And the only time that a tie ever felt like a win was when the Rams blew a huge lead against the Titans. And it was 16-0, I believe, at halftime. And they were laying 7, and the Titans tied them. And then Warner, with like 2 minutes left in the game, threw a bomb to Isaac Bruce. So thank God they tied, and it wasn't a loss. Sometimes a tie feels like a loss. That was the case when the tie felt like a win. But Kurt Warner has got to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, from the grocery store to the Arena League to the Hall of Fame, maybe. Well, it's one of the great stories in NFL history,
yeah,
really.
The reason he wouldn't is because short shelf life. Both he and TD did not play a long time. But Kurt Warner, to me, is a Hall of Famer.
Okay, I agree with you. And T.O., by the way, number two all-time in receptions with 1,078. Number two all-time. This is number two, by the way, to Jerry Rice, who some would argue is the greatest football, not just the greatest receiver, but the greatest football player of all time.
Right.
I wouldn't make that argument, but people do make it. I mean, he's number two with 15,934 yards.
They were on the field at the same time together, by the way.
He is third in touchdown catches with 153, three behind Randy Moss, who had 156. And so T.O., though, has the whole T.O. stigma around him.
He did. He did.
He does.
I remember him after a touchdown running to the middle of the star, right, against the Cowboys.
And popcorn. Then
the other thing I remember about T.O. is his agent had him doing a workout shirtless in his driveway, like weightlifting.
What's wrong with that?
Well,
a little naked shirt workout type of situation.
But when you work out naked in your driveway, mm-hmm. Do you ever call the media?
I do. They don't come. He was able to get people there.
Oh, I see.
To put him right in the Hall of Fame.
Now, to me, Terrell Owens has to make it.
How many times has he not made it? Is this his third year on the ballot?
I could make something up. I don't have that exact.
Whatever it is, it's ridiculous that he hasn't gone in.
Yeah, I think T.O., Terrell Owens needs to make it. I think John Lynch needs to make it. I think LT is the surest thing. Like, if you're at the racetrack and there's a horse that's a prohibitive favorite, he'll be like 3-5. So LaDainian Tomlinson is 3-5. And what mixed emotions you must have if you're a Chargers fan. Because in the same year that you lose your team, you get one of your greatest players going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's fifth all time in rushing. Fifth all-time in rushing, 162 touchdowns, including 31 in 2006. 31 touchdowns in 1 year. That's 31 more than I ever had.
That is 31 more than you. Are you going to watch the show tonight?
I will watch the show because Jarrett's going to be on it. Jarrett and Brittany are both going to be on it for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. The other two guys who I think could make it, and probably only one of them will, Eric Coryell, you mentioned him. Don Coryell created a whole new way to pass. He had Dan Fouts throwing to John Jefferson and, tremendous passing game. They had an entirely, you know, Kellen Winslow, one of the greatest tight end receivers ever was on that team. They had James Lofton come there. Jefferson went to Green Bay. But I think Don Coryell, Eric Coryell could go, and I think Paul Tagliabue. Because the NFL's profile just soared. It screamed under Paul Tagliabue. So I think that Tagliabue can make it. Jerry Jones is not going to make it. He's nominated.
How do you feel about that?
He deserves to be nominated. And Jerry World's supposed to be the greatest stadium ever. But I don't think he has to go into the Hall of Fame this year. So tonight, that award show you're talking about, it's on Fox at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock tonight, yeah. I'm texting with Jared right now. He's not going to be able to come on with us. I know that he's trying his best, but it's very loud in there, and he's about to head backstage. Walter Payton, Man of the Year, the life of JP right now. Just chilling with the NFL's
right.
Luminary is about to make a big time move. Good to be here with you though, Harry.
Thank you. You know, in the Chicago Tribune every day by the TV listings, they have like a little blurb in the top left hand corner, like today's highlights, where they'll tell you, hey, what these are the best shows you should watch tonight. And it could be a movie or it could be like a talk show, but they usually like have like, you know, the best sitcoms or the best dramas, you know, what you should watch tonight. And tonight they have a thing, you know, watch the NFL players, the NFL awards. And they say amongst the nominees for the Walter Payton Man of the Year award are Eli Manning and Rob Gronkowski. Now, Gronk is about as far away from the Walter Payton Man of the Year award as you can get. I mean, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is given to someone who has, you know, gone out of their way countless seasons to benefit charities and to look out for those less fortunate than they are. And this year, the three nominees are Larry Fitzgerald of mm-hmm. the Cardinals, Greg Olson, former Bear, of course, now the tight end for the Panthers, and Eli Manning. Gronk? I love it that they've got Gronk. That would be hysterical.
Who are you?
He's Mr. Party Bus. He's got the Gronk Party Bus with his brothers.
There's something about me that just enjoys the fact that Gronk has just sort of done it his own way.
Oh, yeah. And I have.
I don't think he should be in the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Right. That's all I'm saying. Gronk is so damn likable. I see him on talk shows. He's funny. He's great with reporters. He does the Gronk Party Cruise. And unlike Victor Cruz and unlike the Giants receivers, he does his party cruise when the season's over.
How about the fact that Gronk has been so instrumental for New England and hasn't played at all, and yet they're still doing it?
It's a tribute to the system. And Gronk had his own Simpsons episode, for Christ's sake.
More important to New England, Belichick or Brady? Everybody loves that one.
It's Belichick.
That's so hard for me to wrap my head around. The quarterback, the best quarterback, in many people's opinion, of all time,
right,
is less important than the head coach. How can that be? But like I say, the consensus is that Belichick is more important.
Right.
Not that it seems ridiculous.
You know, no, another good way you could do that question is who is more important to the Dolphins, Shula or Marino?
Marino, Brady. I always go with the player. Who's more important to the Bulls, Michael or Phil? Michael.
Oh, that's Michael.
Okay, who's more important to the Celtics, Larry or Casey Jones? Larry. Who's more important to the Lakers, Riley or Magic? Magic. Who's more important to the Niners, Bill Walsh or Montana? Montana.
Hey, you do a good job. You do a good job making your argument. But Drew Bledsoe, right? They were winning with Drew Bledsoe. He was, Brady got in what? The playoff game against the Steelers. It was the first time he took the field. So they had gotten pretty far without Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, and you may be right. Just my first reaction to that question is Belichick may be, you know, one of the greatest coaches in the history.
He is. He absolutely is, but he's still a coach. But I get it. Football, you got to scheme it. You got a lot going on here.
The year Brady got hurt in the first game against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Patriots, Matt Castle came in.
Yeah, they won 11-5.
Yeah, you know, so that's not bad. The first three games this year without Tom Brady, they went 3-0, right?
Yeah, you missed four. They went 3-1.
Okay,
those are fair arguments. At the end of the day, that's only four games into a season. If Tom Brady had not come back, I don't think the Patriots would be sitting here 14-2 and on the verge of winning Super Bowl title number 5 here. But I get the Belichick love. I get it. I love what
he's always because, you know, under him the defense has thrived as well. You know, Tom Brady helps the defense out by scoring, but Belichick does more for the defense and does more for the special teams than Tom Brady does. Tom Brady helps 1/3 of New England's team, the offense.
Yes, but I mean. I take that into like another basketball argument. What's the most important thing in basketball? Putting the ball in the hoop. That's why shooters are at a premium. in football, what's the most important thing? Somebody to take you down the field and run your offense. I mean, you can't win without a stud quarterback. Really, really win. You can be Kansas City competitive with Alex Smith and have a nice defense. You can be... I don't know. You
right.
look,
it doesn't happen a lot. Like it happened with the Ravens, right? When the Ravens won their Super Bowl, they didn't have a superstar quarterback, right? They had Trent Dilfer, who's
it's just very rare.
Right, it's very rare.
It's very rare that
I had to go back to the Ravens
right,
to get one.
The Jeff Hostetler, Joe Flacco, or right. whoever you want to name.
Boy, what a contract they gave Flacco after that game, huh?
He got, well,
think they'd like to take that back?
But that's what happens all over the place in the NFL, right? Can't lose him. Jay Cutler, got to sign you up. Can't lose him. Joe Flacco, got to sign you up. All right. Well, congrats to all the potential Hall of Famers tonight. If T.O. doesn't go in tonight, Harry, I think we should protest in the name of T.O.
What do you think Jarrett's going to wear? Because Jarrett and Brittany will be on stage to present the award for the Man of the Year.
I'm going to text him, take a picture. We want to see what you... Oh, no, he's already... I saw him.
Well, then you know the answer.
I do. Hang on a second. Jarrett Payton, at Payton's son.
Yes, 700,000 followers.
Yeah. All right. We'll give a little Jarrett love coming back here. 720 WGN. We're going to have one more chance for you to celebrate with us after 6 o'clock. Win valuable prizes from 720 WGN as we're going to go down memory lane. I just want to say one thing here, Harry,
mm-hmm.
as we get ready for the 6 o'clock news. My number one sports goal right now is to get the Northwestern basketball team into the tournament. I will do whatever it takes. I will be on the line for Chris Collins, for Scotty Lindsey, for Vic Law, for Bryant McIntosh, for Gavin Skelly.
But Sanjay
Lumpkin, absolutely. Nathan Taphorn, senior. Oh, all those
good.
Guys. I will do whatever I can. I've been in a Wildcat argument with one of my diehard Wildcat fan friends. He thinks the Cats are going to win. He set the over-under at 11.5 on how many Big Ten wins. And I said that they were going to win 10 Big Ten games, which they need three more wins to do that.
They've got a tough schedule coming up, but there are definitely winnable games starting Tuesday at home against the Fighting Illini.
Right. The Wildcats have been close so many times, but have always been snake bit. And then out of nowhere, they're, depending on how you break it down, their best player, their second best player, their third best player, one of their key players, out of nowhere, gets sick. And they absolutely need Scotty Lindsey to win basketball games. They just do. And I didn't know that was going to happen, but I knew that something like this was going to happen. And so now they got to battle through a key injury. And by the way, Illinois today lost to Minnesota 68-59. Illinois should absolutely be a win on Tuesday night. And if you're looking for tickets, that game is not sold out. Normally, Illinois-Northwestern sells out. It is not sold out. So Wildcat fans, especially because Illinois fans, I don't think they're super excited to see their team play basketball this year. Wildcat fans, come on out on Tuesday night. They could use your support.
And if you can't make it to the game, obviously you can hear every Northwestern game right here on WGN Radio. Dave Ennett, Joey Meyer, 6:45 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off, the Fighting Illini. And the Wildcats Northwestern right here on WGN. Also, Rutgers comes to town. That game is sold out. That should be a win.
Rutgers is sold out?
Sold out.
You're kidding.
Why would I kid? Rutgers is sold out. I believe it's a Saturday night. And Rutgers is sold out. It's a Saturday. I don't know if it's evening or day, but Rutgers is sold out.
How do you know that, Harry?
Because when
I'm the ticket guy on this show. How do you know that?
Please. Man, how soon they forget. How soon they forget. When I get my Chicago Tribune every morning,
yeah,
there's a purple advertisement across the top of the sports section that says, hey, Northwestern basketball, Tuesday night against Illinois, coming up, these are the other games. And it's got sold out over like three of the other games.
You're right. Rutgers is sold out. Michigan is sold out. Purdue is sold out. The only games that are not sold out is Illinois, which is Tuesday night, and then Maryland on Wednesday the 15th.
Maryland's a very good team.
They sold out the Rutgers game.
Hell yeah! How about that?
That is that's historic.
It's really great. They haven't had a sellout in 5 years. You know that has come before the game, and you know they keep doing it here. It's fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to the game on Tuesday night.
Well, I can't wait to have you out there, Harry. Let's have a pregame dinner too.
What are you thinking? Thinking mustards or?
Mustards would be great. I love Colonel Mustard's Last Stand. So it's a staple.
Or you want to go like sit down somewhere?
No, we've got to discuss this off the air. Okay. These are big questions. But,
all right, sorry. There's Lumals in Evanston.
I think you sit down and then post game you get the mustards on the way out. One hot dog to go.
Do you have the pull at Lumals? Because there's a Lumals right in downtown Evanston.
I might be able to pull something off at Lumal Nottie's. Yes, love you, Lumals.
The rookie who was so dangerous, who went to college here at Miami. He led the NFC in both kickoff returns and punt returns. And the Colts have had a hard time all season covering kicks. It's Hester trying to work it back to the middle. Gets past the first wave, and here he goes. It's Hester inside the 30. Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown. And no flag, 92 yards.
Yeah. Super Bowl 41. Breaking news, by the way. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz.
Yes.
With you for half an hour. T.O.
is in?
Did not make the Hall of Fame.
What a joke. What a damn joke.
Second in receiving yards, eighth in receptions, third in touchdown catches. Not into the Hall of Fame.
Who made it?
I don't have the full list here. I'm just seeing T.O. breaking on Twitter. Terrell Owens, arguably the second greatest wide receiver of all time, not making it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame once again as the announcements being made tonight.
Right behind Curtis Conway.
Yeah, because of what he did off the field, because people don't like him.
Terrell Owens was so spectacular. Remember that game against the Bears? He had like 18 catches. Remember the one where Cade McNown didn't know the playbook?
That was a great one.
Where the Bears didn't get past their own 50-yard line. Remember that game? Terrell Owens ruled the day. That's bad. He should make it.
I mean, he'll get in eventually, but it's the whole...
So, obviously, WGN, Radio 720, Mark Carmen, star of The Beat.
Thanks, Harry.
You're welcome. And 10 years ago this weekend, I was lucky enough to be in Miami for the Super Bowl. We got to go every year to Radio Row. And there's like 40 stations that broadcast their show live, and you have access to all these great, not just NFL guests, but you get like a Hugh Jackman or an Adam Sandler to sit with you, heroes from days gone by like Archie Manning. And we would always fly home on Saturday morning, but the Bears were in the Super Bowl, so we stayed, and we went to the game. Yurko didn't go. He went to a bar. But my friend Rob, who owns the Registry, best bar in the state of Indiana in Crown Point there, we bought tickets, and we spent a lot of money on them. But Devin Hester returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, and we said, you know what? If that's all the Bears do all day, it was worth the cost of this ticket. Well, we were wrong. The only other good thing of that night was Prince's halftime show. Prince was spectacular. Billy Joel, how about this for a 1-2 punch? Billy Joel sang the national anthem, the great Billy Joel, and Prince did the halftime show in the rain, in the purple rain.
Very good. So here, okay. The Tribune did a great piece this week on it's been 10 years since the Bears were in the Super Bowl, and of course they're hitting rock bottom this year, winning only 3 games. And I go back to the Super Bowl, right? Harry, as you just detailed, you were there. I think it's like the least memorable Super Bowl of all time.
Certainly in Bears history.
I mean, when I go back to 85, I was 11 years old, and I can remember waking up that morning and thinking to myself, there's absolutely no way the Bears are going to lose this football game. And then Peyton fumbled, and they're down 3-0, and I'm like, oh, no. So there's terror here. And then, of course, they go on to win 46-10. And, you remember just
everything.
Everything about the whole season. Whereas you go back to the 03 Bears – And 312-981-7200. Whoever, or this is a subjective Harry's call victory here. But what do you remember from that Super Bowl team? Because
That's a really good question.
I legit had to be reminded. Like, who was the running back on the 03 Bears? Dan Long, don't answer it. But do you know that off the top of your head? No, he does not.
Come on.
No, do you?
Come on. Can I?
No, you cannot.
No, I'm just going to say that there more than one answer is acceptable for that question.
Okay. Who's a fine? So I suppose it's a split, but really, I mean, I don't know. Like, who was the quarterback on the team?
Really?
I'm telling you that most people, I think that's like a 50-50. Who was it again? Who was it? Who quarterbacked the team? Oh, yeah.
Who caught the touchdown pass?
Who caught the touchdown pass? No idea. No, I don't know. I don't. I don't remember. I remember I watched it at my buddy David Frank's in Lincoln Park. We had a great time. I couldn't believe when Devin ran it back.
Let me tell you this.
And then after that, it was like just the slow trickle to the end.
Let me tell you this. In Miami that week, it was 85% Bears fans.
Okay.
In New Orleans for Super Bowl 20, it was 90% Bears fans. Okay, the Bears travel well. The Packers, Steelers, yeah, whatever. The Bears travel extremely well when they play in a game of this magnitude. And it was all Bears fans all week. The Colts fans are friendly. Again, I like Indy. I like the Colts. And it will always be remembered as the Peyton Manning Super Bowl. It's hard to remember anything about the Bears other than Devin has to return the opening kickoff for a touchdown.
And literally that's it.
He was looking at himself on the Jumbotron as he was running
was
the last
awesome.
You know, 30 yards.
That was awesome.
I remember that Vinatieri missed a field goal attempt late in the first half, which I thought would be key. And then after the quarterback threw the interception that got picked off, he threw a pick six in the second half. I was so mad at that quarterback. And I tell me I can't say his name. People don't remember who it is. The quarterback should have tackled the guy who made the pick six, and he didn't.
312-981-7200 as the Super Bowl is tomorrow. We're going to preview that again, the actual minutiae of the game coming up. But it was 10 years ago. The Bears were there. What do you remember? I'm guessing absolutely nothing. Beach Boy calling in claims he had to sit next to you during the game.
What?
Beach Boy, you sat next to Harry at Super Bowl 41 in Miami?
Do you remember me, Harry?
Beach Boy. Beach Burton Boy.
Burton played 100 years ago.
That's the Beach Boy with the white hair.
Yeah, that's me. How you doing?
I'm great, dude. Yeah, Mick was your brother-in-law, and you were a monster behind the bar at Burton Place.
Oh, you George Lopez and you guys would always come by. We had a great time.
When I first started in radio, I was doing Saturday nights on the old WMVP 1000. It'd be 10 till 1. And with Spike, and I would go at like 1:15, 1:30 to Burton Place because it was a big performers hangout, and people would it's on Well Street, right by Second City and Zanies, and people would keep coming in there. And this guy was the bartender; he ran the show.
Don't think I don't know Burton Place. I know Burton Place.
I talked to Beach Baby at the beginning of my career. It's so strange how everything comes full circle. How are you, Beach?
Fine. I've got two daughters in their 20s. They go to school in Michigan and college.
Jesus, Beach Boy.
Time goes by so fast. You know, that restaurant, I had a chance to buy into it. Now it's up for sale for $3.5. I mean, it's crazy what real estate went through on Wells there, but,
It is nuts. You were always a blast to hang out with. So what do you remember about that Bears Super Bowl 41 team that was, it seems like, 25 years ago, but it was only a decade ago?
Well, my big thing is, why are you kicking to Hester? They finally figured out if he's kicking the corner, he can't run it back. I mean, I'm sitting there, and I'm not even a coach, and I'm going, well, what are you doing here? Keep kicking it up the middle and see what this guy does to you. And then we got the idea to kick it into half of the field. So who knows with sports? I mean, who knows tomorrow when the Super Bowl goes who's going to win? You know, on any day, anybody could do something good or bad.
Right. Well, Beach Boy, remember, the Colts talked about how Tony Dungy said the night before the game, you know, let's not, you know, the smart thing would be not to kick it to Hester, But they all thought as a team and coaching staff that it would give them a psychological advantage to not wuss out. They didn't think, like, let's do the smart thing. The Colts talked about this openly after the game. They said that they wanted to challenge themselves. They knew it'd be smarter to squib it. They knew it'd be smarter not to kick it to Hester. But they wanted to prove that they were not afraid. That's why they kicked it to Hester.
It's called they knew that the worst case scenario, even if he runs it back for a touchdown, we're still winning the game easily, which they did. That Bears team did not belong in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you this. The quarterback, I still can't say his name. You really think
go ahead. Well, no, hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, welcome to 720 WGN 312-981-7200. Who was the quarterback on that team, Brian?
Oh, hell, I can't remember.
You got to be kidding me.
I can see him because he got beat up by the Packers. In one of the games, it was a great picture on Facebook, but I'm sorry, guys. I can see his face. I just can't remember.
Okay, you're not answering it right now, Harry, because I'm going to continue with this line of questioning.
We got Lou Malz on the line.
312-981-7200. Can you remember any of the running backs on the team?
No.
Yeah.
I don't.
What do you remember about the game, Brian?
Well, my family lives in Indiana. I live in Madison, Wisconsin, surrounded by a pack of friends, but that's okay. We're still Bears fans up here. But we were watching it, and when Hester runs that opening kickoff back, it was fantastic, and the excitement level was insane. We saw the game progressing as expected, with it being challenging. But then at halftime, we all thought, okay, well, the Bears will make some changes in their offense and defense, and they'll come back out and they'll kick some butt, and we'll be good. But the change never happened. So everybody was kind of standing more or less waiting, and then it turned into shock later on when you saw the same plays and the same or not plays, if you will.
So you were
and in the fourth quarter. We're all sitting there going, well. What in the heck did you do during halftime? Did nobody recognize that they needed to change some stuff? It just that's why we felt they lost, and it just it was depressing.
Brian, you remember the strategy. You don't remember anything about the players or anything.
You can't name a player.
Brian, I'm with you, man.
We drank. We're Irish Catholic. We drank more, and we were just like, well, time to, you know, we're in Wisconsin, act like Scotties. So we took care of that issue, and we just enjoyed it. It was an interesting season. I just wish the game would end better for us being Bears fans. But
very cool.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Our pleasure, Brian. Thanks for calling. 312-981-7200. Nobody remembers anything about the Bears Super Bowl.
That can't be true. They're the Bears. I remember walking into the game with Des Clark's family, and they all had Des Clark jerseys on, number 88. I thought, how cool is that? His family's all here supporting him wearing the jerseys.
That's great. And now everybody now knows because they all forgot that Des Clark was the tight end on that on that Bears team. Oh, yeah, it was Des Clark. Right. Got it. I think Jim will answer the question of the quarterback. What's up, Jim? Who quarterbacked the Bears in Super Bowl 41?
Well, as Lovey used to say, Rex is my quarterback.
Yeah. Rex is our quarterback.
Rex Grossman.
He said...
Go ahead.
He said that all the time. I got sick of hearing it. Rex is our quarterback. They played, you know, the Bears went 13-3 that year, and two of the three losses were to the Packers. But Rex started the last game, which meant a lot to me as a Bears fan and a guy who had a bet that he would start every game. You know, he was a passenger on that team.
Well, why they forced him to throw that ball downfield with as much time as they still had, I still don't understand that call. He didn't have to go deep at that point in time just yet.
Wow.
And that always bugged me.
Way to hold on
and
to that, Jim.
I was soaked to death. And if you want to know what I remember the most about it is having to go back to the hotel and lay every little piece of paper that was in my wallet out all over the hotel room just to dry it before I could get on the plane and come back to Chicago.
To my point, Jim, you're a diehard. You're a legit diehard. You were there. That's why you remember. The standard casual football fan has no idea who was on that Bears team.
That's
the
crazy.
Most undescribable, just completely vanilla team of all time.
Jim, do you remember either of the two running backs, the starter or the rookie first-round draft pick?
I do remember, but I can't remember the name, unfortunately. He was hurt at the beginning of the game, and everyone was calling him a wuss for going down hurt at the beginning of the game. And it's a huge, I can't remember.
Yeah, there you go.
He wasn't around long.
Right, yeah, no.
He wasn't around long.
No, he wasn't. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you.
All right, guys.
Thank you. The lamest Super Bowl team of all time.
That's not good.
Super Bowl 41.
So far, Jim is the winner of the contest. So far, unless someone can give us both running backs.
Joe's got beef. Welcome. He's got beef with the Bear. 312-981-7200. Joe,
how are you guys?
We're great, Joe. What do you remember?
I remember the whole game. It was raining and pouring. All they needed someone is to manage the game. If they would have started Orton, they would have won that game. they did deserve to be in that Super Bowl. And the running backs, Thomas Jones. And who was that rookie that got hurt all the time?
I don't know. Who was it?
I'm trying to remember. And then he went to Cincinnati or something.
Yeah, exactly right. Come on, give us the name. You're one name away from Lou Malnati's. He got pepper sprayed on a boat by the cops.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
but
me neither.
Orton should have played in that Super Bowl.
Joe, he went to Texas. He played college football at Texas.
Nah, Curtis Enos, or I don't remember.
No, he was a Penn State Nittany Lion.
Yeah.
Another.
All right.
Thanks,
Joe.
You guys
have a great evening. But don't say they didn't deserve to be in it with Urlacher and all those guys. They deserve to win that.
Defensively, they deserved it, Joe. You're right about that. Thanks, man. It was a very good defense. I don't want to take anything away from the defense. You want your question answered, Chris will do it for you. Who are the running backs, Chris?
Cedric Benson.
Yeah.
The guy you're forgetting about.
How many carries did he have in the Super Bowl?
Boy, I don't know. Maybe not enough.
He had two carries for -1 yards. What a performance.
I'm told the guys on the team in the locker room at halftime were shocked that he wasn't coming back in the game.
I kind of remember that now. I live in Kankakee, and I remember that Kankakee had a kid from played at Bishop McNamara. Tywan Hagler recovered a fumble for the Colts.
Huh.
That's what I remember from the Super Bowl.
Who caught the touchdown pass from Rex Grossman?
Number 88, wasn't it?
No, you're so close.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no, it wasn't it. There's no Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer from the Bears. Who caught
was
the
Bears? Was it Reggie Wayne? Oh, for the Bears?
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, you're really going to have to wreck my brain there.
So good.
Who did Bears have in a receiver?
He was friends with Rocky J. Squirrel.
You're still a winner, Chris. Don't worry about it.
Okay, super.
It was Mushin Muhammad. Nobody else remembers that either, except for maybe Mushin
Muhammad.
Yeah,
they got him from Carolina, yeah.
There you go.
Moose.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right.
The Super Bowl 41 Bears, the least entertaining, most nondescript Bears team.
Kelvin Hayden had a pick six in the second half, and Rex Grossman gave up on the play. He should have tackled him, and then the Bears would have had a chance to win. They would have only been down 5, and they would have covered. I mean, they would have had a chance to win.
Bears. Final timeout. Blackhawks hockey coming up, 720 WGN. Blackhawks hockey coming right up, 720 WGN. Judd Surratt. We'll have your pregame show, John and Troy, of course, on the call, the Blackhawks and the Dallas Stars. Before we get Harry's thoughts on the hockey game tonight, where are you watching the game tomorrow, Harry? What are you doing?
Tomorrow, it's the only time that my kids watch a sporting event is like because of the Super Bowl commercials. I'll get them to watch the Super Bowl. So I'm rolling by Village Inn. They love the Onion Ring in Skokie.
I know
right
the Village Inn well.
Yeah, it's awesome. Randy's place. So I'm going to go by there. And I'm bringing back onion rings and wings, and we're going to watch the Super Bowl. We're going to have little bets, sort of like cash incentives for the kids to stay and watch the whole game with mom and dad.
Great job.
Actually, an incentive for mom to watch the game with dad.
Okay. That's if you got to bribe me, you got to bribe me.
What are you doing for the game?
I'll be working tomorrow. I will be at I'll be watching with my buddies over at fansided.com as
nice.
We take in the Super Bowl and do some video work alongside. Going to have some Lou Malnati's pizza. It's going to be an extravaganza. Very much feel the loss of not going to the Jordan Burnfield Super Bowl party. It's an annual affair at Jordan Burnfield's.
Fansided.com exploded.
Thanks, Harry. We're doing the best we can, and yes, it's growing, so it's awesome. Hey, all right, Blackhawks Stars tonight. Hawks going for 2 in a row.
Yes, absolutely. They lost 3 in a row, and the power play was back. So I expect Quenneville to use the same combos of power play units that he was using. And tonight, what's weird, what's funky, is goalies will have new size limitations to what they can have below their waist.
Yeah, Corey Crawford and
Scott Darling.
Not thrilled about that.
No.
They like a nice big pant. Mm-hmm. I like a big pant.
Yeah, MC Hammer did.
Right. Well, and he wore it well.
Hammer time.
Thank you to Dan Long. Thank you to Bob Kessler for the news. Thank you to all our guests today. They were awesome as well. Hopefully we entertain you just enough to get you through today.
Great Super Bowl analysis.
Great. We talked about it enough. All right. Have a great night. Go Blackhawks. The Hawks and the Stars coming up next at 720 WGN.